nothing is one in any place, but all the ways that you bless us, Lord, we remember you've got to mention them all. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We ask and pray now, Father, for your guidance as we go into these discussions today and later today for this board meeting. As Father, you be with our staff, we release commissioners, be with the citizens of our community and our county. Bless us always with whatever we accomplish today. We give you the honor and praise and the glory for it. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Item number four, the board to continue the strategic planning session from January 17, 2019 for fiscal year 18 and 19 and future fiscal years. Okay, the first thing on our agenda this morning is vehicle lease presentation from Capital Leasing.
We have Mr. Jordan Davis here from Capital Leasing, and you should have a packet in front of you for Capital Truck Incorporated, I think is the name of the company. Mr. Davis, can you come forward? We also have Hank Evans, and we have Gary Wongold here. In addition to the packet from Capital, there is a heavy equipment truck inventory for both Solid Waste and Public Works. We would like you to just take note of the mileage on these vehicles. That's really what's driving this conversation. So, Mr. If y'all want to say anything before Mr. Davis starts, just say that's
based on how it works.
Yes, sir. And then I would like to, if you could also inform the board of any of the surrounding counties that utilize your program, and whether it's for the entire fleet or just the number of trucks that they lease from you would be helpful too.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Thornton Davis. I'm with Capital Truck Incorporated. We're the Mack and Hino dealer for your area, and Tallahassee is where we're based out of. I had the pleasure of coming over a few weeks ago and speaking with Mr. Wanda and Gary and Nate about the leasing purchasing programs we offer for municipalities. Currently, we're doing this with 9 different counties. You're some of your neighbors, Madison County, Jefferson County, Leon County, Wakulla County, Jackson County, Liberty County, Calhoun County, a lot of these counties, Franklin County. I mean, there's so many of them, the carpenter to name every one of them. But what the program really does is very rarely in our industry do you have what we call a win-win situation. Well, this is truly a win-win situation, not only for Taylor County, but for Capital Truck as well. In the private sector, these trucks are getting more, and in the public sector, but especially in the private sector, these trucks, such as dump trucks, roll-off trucks, the big $150,000 and $175,000 trucks, they're getting dramatically more expensive every year. Because of regulations, EPA, engine, all these other factors, prices of steel, there's so many factors and variables that are increasing the prices on these trucks to where each and every penny you can starting to really, really, really matter. I remember 10, 15 years ago, you could buy one of these dump trucks for $90,000, the county did. And now they're $150,000. There's a lot of factors there, but at the end of the day, what it comes down to is making dollars make sense. And what we're able to do, I can't control the $150,000 part. But what I can control is your expenditures over a yearly, you know, a budget. I can help you with your budget from the standpoint that you can look at what you're putting out every year, or every 5 years, or every 10 years, and what you're getting back for that. And what we started doing, we've been doing this for over 10 years, but it hasn't been such a win for the county, because on a $90,000 truck, the money wasn't that crucial. Now it's becoming very crucial when we're talking about almost double that. For example, in Hank's area on dump trucks, $150,000. And I'm just going to throw a name out there, Mr. Murphy's Trucking Company, if you wanted to just start your own private dump truck company, and you were going to call me and say, Thornton, what's one of those dump trucks for the county that's $150,000, what's that going to cost me? If I don't start my own, you're going to pay $180,000, because you have federal excise tax and state and local taxes that you have to pay on top of that $150,000. You, as the county, don't have to pay that. You have such a benefit there. Well, what we've done is we've learned a way, a system, to not only capitalize on the $30,000 savings that the county really gets because of the taxes, but we found a way to spread that into the private sector. I can make that $150,000 dump truck that Hank's going to drive and that the county's going to use, let you guys run that truck on a 1 year guaranteed buyback, guaranteed being the key word. I'm giving you in writing, documentation, stamp signed, delivered, that we're going to buy that truck back from you in 13 months. The reason it's got to be 13 months is federal excise tax on that truck is exempt 366 days after you take possession of it. That federal excise tax is 12% on that 150. For example, y'all get it for 150, he'd have to pay 180 for it as a truck. Well, what I'm going to tell him is, you hold on 1 year. Taylor County's going to run this truck. They're going to put 50, 40, 30, 60, however many thousand miles on it. But they'll run that truck. I don't limit you. I've given a letter to you guys explaining, you know, trade terms and things of that matter. I've never, had to limit a county on mileage. I've never put a stipulation out there on mileage. The worst I've ever seen a truck come back to me is 48,000 miles. If you're putting more than 48,000 miles on a truck in 1 year, you're getting with it, and I commend you. But I just ain't seen it happen yet. Most of the trucks I get back, Madison, Jefferson's probably the highest mileage truck I've seen in our programs we're offering. Most of the trucks come back in the 20 to 30,000 mile range. I can take a 30, 40,000 mile truck, offer it to him, still remain a warranty on it. It's got 2 years worth of warranty left still on it. And that's another, I'll come back to that in a minute, but the entire time you're in this program, you can cut maintenance out. But you're under warranty the entire time you're in this program. He can buy that truck 30-something thousand dollars cheaper than he could buy a brand new one. And he's got a 1 year, you're buying a 1 year old truck that saves you 30-something thousand dollars, and Hank and his department have kept service records on it, maintenance records on it. So, I mean, raise your hand if you've run and hit it for $30,000 in your lifetime, because I always grab 30 grand when I can. He saves 30. I've got all these other, you know, trucking companies in our region and territory that are gobbling these trucks up as fast as I can get them. So it's a great situation for them. When you're buying 5, 6, 7 trucks, like PV Incorporated and Crowder Incorporated, you're buying 5, 6, 7 trucks, and you save 30 grand every time you buy a truck. It don't take long to add up. They're buying 8 trucks for what they could buy 5 and 6 new trucks for. So they really enjoy the program. The county really enjoys the program because, I mean, the savings under this program for you guys is 5, 6, 7 fold. I mean, there's so many different positives about this program for you guys, but just the main ones that I always like to touch on, it's easy to budget. If you know how many trucks you're going to run, what you're trying to, you know, accomplish in a year. You know what you can budget for, and you can just about kick out maintenance. I mean, he really, or not maintenance, but...
You let me budget on that. The last 2 years, two fiscal years, I spent over $85,000 on automotive repair and maintenance.
Now, that doesn't count equipment. That's strictly automotive. Now, Gary, how much have you asked you to get those numbers?
About 45 to 35 the last couple of years. With ours, with our mileage showing up on these older trucks, it's going to get worse as we go because of one transmission, 12 grand.
Yeah.
Once you clear over 550, 600,000, is that right, Jordan? The warranty on our trucks will cover you, well, considering that you're going to, under the proposal, you're going to trade every year and pay a difference. And under that difference, which is listed, it's a little different on a roll-off than it is or dump. Dump's $15,000, a roll-off $18,000. If you pay $18,000 a year for a 170-something-thousand-dollar roll-off truck, it comes out right around, it's about $1,000 a month. $1,100 per month to run a $170,000 piece of equipment.
What's the life expectancy on a roll-off truck, you think?
Mileage-wise, I would go out there, you know, the engine and transmission and all that, I mean, 500,000-600,000 miles is not out of scope for that truck, but where you run into problems on a roll-off truck is day in, day out wear and tear usage on the body, the hydraulic cylinder, hoses, and things of that nature. Very rarely will you see a roll-off truck go up and down the road yanking 60,000-pound cans that last much longer than 2 years without having to have some pretty dramatic, you know, repairs, and when I say dramatic, parts, part arms, things of that nature that could cost anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000. You know, the engine and transmission, your major chassis components, are normally, you don't see a lot of problems there until about the fourth, fifth, sixth year. But to, you know, to weave into that, that's what makes the truck so desirable for that private sector guy on the back end. If he can buy it 1 year into use, save himself $30,000 to $40,000, and he knows he's got a good, dependable truck for the next 3 or 4 years. It's where you got to be careful here as a municipality or myself or you know, an individual is you got to find a happy medium in this program that allows you to win, us to win. We're winning at the 1 year mark. The 1 year mark, if I do it for 2 years, if I put a truck down here with you guys for 2 years, it doesn't quite make it as fancy. You don't. It's hard for me to go get $130,000 out of a second buyer on a truck that you guys have had for 2 years that only has 1 year of warranty left on it, 2 years of wear and tear. 1 year has worked very well, and you guys paying that $18,000 a year, $18,000 don't sound like a lot. I mean, right now it does, but you start breaking it down over a 10-year span, and you drive a truck for 10 years, you put out $180,000. But you have not spent one dime in maintenance or repairs because your truck's recovered under warranty. If that transmission goes out, guess what? You're off the hook. You don't owe me $22,000, which is what it costs to replace a brand new 2019 model transmission. Yes, ma'am. Excellent question. You got somebody in the truck? Nobody asks about tires, and that's a great question because they are very expensive. Very good question. A set of tires cost you roughly $5,000, I think, when I say. Because your front flow tires are very expensive, but your back eight drive tires are, they're not cheap, but compared to them. $5,000 is normally what you're looking at on tires. What we have done in this program, and now, please, don't be afraid to ask a question or to interject anything, because I'm learning too, okay? I've been doing this for on and off close to 10 years, but I'm learning something every time I do this. Every county is different. Every customer and application is different, okay? I'm not all-knowing about this. But what has worked well for us is we require 75% rubber and brake lining on the trade-in. Okay, 75%. Who defines 75%? Well, that's, you know, I can take a tire gauge and look at a tire and tell you if that truck, if that tire meets the criteria or not. I mean, I've had trade-in tires come in to me that were 85%. I don't say a word about those tires. They're in great shape. But then I've had where one of your guys might have run over some steel beams and cut two tires down, and he's got, you know, eight tires on the back, three of them don't match, and they're wanting to go, or whatever, you know. It's just, that doesn't constitute to me or to that second buyer that's buying this quality truck for $160,000 instead of $190,000, he's not going to be okay with that. So what I have just, instead of dancing around the issue of tires, what I've said, well, let's do, Hank's going to get, let's say, a brand new dump truck for me. This is just hypothetically and putting an example out there to you. Hank runs that truck 12 months, and I've got your new truck over there. You're in your 2019 now. I've got your 2020. It's come in. It's all nice, shiny, pretty, ready to go. Hey, Hank, why don't you send that truck over and let's do the swap out? Because what I'm going to do, instead of nitpicking your tires and saying, well, no, there's three here that aren't any good, two here that aren't any good, I need you to buy me seven tires to make this right. Taking that all out of the equation. What I'm doing is, Hank, when you send your truck over to me, I'm going to take your trade-in tires, put them on your new truck. I'm going to take the new truck tires, put them on the trade-in, and then you monitor your tires. Because what happened the first couple of times we tried this, the county sent a truck back to me, it had 60, 50% rubber on it. It's got a lot of life left on it, maybe a year's worth. To make them buy $5,000 worth of tires and then have $2,000, $3,000 worth of tires get snatched off and just sit there, didn't make a lot of sense. You weren't getting full use out of the set of tires. So what we do, we say on 22.5s, we just, you know, the same exact interchangeable tire size. Hank sends his or Gary sends his truck over to me. We do a swap around. If I eat that, it costs me about $1,500 to do that. But we mount balance, reseed everything, and send him back with tires with whatever he sent me. I have yet to have a complaint from the counties that's doing this, because what they found is after, you know, 1 year of use on their tires, they didn't like having to buy me or meet the criteria of buying two or three or four or five brand new tires. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with these that we're running. We'll keep them. And then when they wear out, buy you a set of tires. You're buying tires as needed, not because I'm dictating that you have to buy a set of tires. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a great question.
Would this be a good time to interrupt and ask a question?
You can ask any question you want. There's always a great time.
Well, I want to kind of get down to the nuts and bolts of this thing.
Sure.
Let's use a dump truck for an example.
Mm-hmm.
You would provide us with a brand new dump truck and enter into a 5-year agreement with you. The initial cost to this county up front for that truck would be $15,000.
Depends on which way you go.
Well,
you could buy the truck from me and pay the $150,000.
We don't want to do that. I mean, that's not what I'm looking to talk about today. I'm thinking in terms of lease.
Right.
It would be $15,000.
$15,000 up front, yes, sir.
And we would keep that truck for 12 and a half to 13 months.
Correct.
All right. Now, in addition to the $15,000, are we paying another $1,000 a month?
No, sir.
$15,000
is your initial, yeah, that's your yearly fee for the truck.
So Hank can run that truck all year. It's under warranty. $15,000. What if it gets a blowout on one of the tires? That's the tire.
You're assuming responsibility for replacing your tire.
We would.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that's a little more than $1,000 per month.
Very little more, yes, sir.
Very little bit more.
Yep.
Which is probably, if you bought it, all right.
$3,500 a month.
Yeah, $3,500 a month. And at the end of the 1 year, you're going to take the truck back, and you're going to have a nice, shining new one to replace it with.
Yep.
With the soft tires.
Yes. $15,000.
And any other tactic? Overall, is my understanding correct? How this thing works?
Yes.
And these dump trucks you have?
Five.
We need to do all 5 of them in 1 year?
No, sir. I think the one that we discussed it, maybe get a couple and just try this program before we get off in the whole hog.
Because you have to remember, you know, at the end, if you just rip the Band-Aid off and you replace your entire fleet with these lease vehicles, at the end of 5 years, you don't have any vehicles. And if that's the way the board wants to go, that's fine. You just have to keep that in mind. It, you know, and I don't know what other counties do, but if we, you know, ease into it with, you know, however many trucks the decision is, then that gives us some experience with the program.
And if we gain experience, and you have another truck that's worth out, I'm going to add a third.
Now, I've got a printout.
Y'all have the inventory.
Yeah, it's got the trucks, the year models, and the mileage on them. So that just gives you a little indication.
We can take if you've got a 1996 model with 4 million miles on it and it barely gets down the road, I can take that truck for you.
You're partnered down on?
Sir? we're partnered with a company based out of Tallahassee called Big Truck Bid. They run online auctions. We'll handle that for you. I mean, we can put your trucks in the auction, any of the trucks that you want. I know a lot of municipalities are required, or at least have voted to make it mandatory to auction their equipment rather than trade, so that they guarantee, you know, that they're getting fair and equal treatment. And we're all for that, because I mean, at the end of the day, I'm here to serve you guys. Whatever I can do to help y'all, the benefit is what I'm here to do. Your understanding, sir, is spot on. At $15,000 a year, what you're going to pay, you pay that up front.
I don't know, I'll put security needs.
Yes, sir.
Still
$15,000.
That's what?
It's $18,000.
It's $18,000, yes, because it's more expensive.
Well, yes.
And Gary, you can probably use me if you can afford to get.
We've got three that, if we can get three, I've got one that doesn't have a lot of mileage. We need four to run for the county. And a spare, we've got an old International that we use, but it's limited because it doesn't have a parking system.
And that's the one with 1 million miles on.
It's got 1 million miles on.
Right. 1 million miles.
The other one that went down the other day, I think it, motor transmission done, I think it had 1.4 million on it.
So you need four trucks or three trucks?
We do need four. We can get four and keep that one we have as a spare. So if we need it for something, like Hank sometimes needs a truck to use and stuff like that, we usually get four.
And you have not spent any of your budgeted funding for, we budgeted to replace one roll-off truck this year. You have not spent that.
That's 180, I think, we budgeted.
So we can take three, we can get three trucks out of 180 a month.
$15,000
fee, $18,000 fee,
$4,000 to $6,000.
$4,000 to $6,000. And every year, you're going to spend that $64,000. But you're also not going to spend that $30,000 that he was talking about in maintenance. Well, not maintenance, but repairs. I mean, maintenance, there is a small, I mean, maintenance program on the truck.
It's not about to replace the oil and
fuel and
stuff like that. And we'll still have our, now I'm assuming we'll still have to pay our liability insurance premiums.
Yes, you will.
Okay. So these.
We'll still have to pay all tenants.
And insurance.
Yeah, that's
maintenance. And the recommended service intervals on these trucks is 30,000 miles.
And if we wreck these trucks, we're, you know, there is a penalty for that, for damage to the truck.
Well, thank you.
Right.
I've only had one, and I'm sure there'll be 50 in the next 10 years, but I've only had one truck damaged during this process. I had Jefferson County had a day-cab tractor, they actually do a day-cab tractor. It got laid over on its side and $27,000 of damage to it. Okay. The problem I have there, and it's just like if any of you, when you go buy a car or pickup truck at the Chevrolet Ford store, if you knew the truck had extensive damage, you would shy away from buying it. I mean, it's just called a hard hit. Yes.
Pretty less money.
I wrote it in here at the very bottom, and again, I'm not all knowing, I'm not perfect, I mean, I'm trying to work with issues that come up as they come up and trying to come up with answers. Any red truck that requires more than $25,000 in repairs is subject to a depreciation adjustment of a minimum of $10,000. If you did $40,000 worth of damage to one of these robot trucks, the insurance company is the key factor here. Are they going to deem it a total loss, or are they going to deem it fixable? If they deem it repairable and they repair it, instead of trading with you for $18,000 the next year on a significantly damaged vehicle, you would pay a $10,000, up to $10,000 fee. And I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that never happens. But we have to protect or guard ourselves as Capital Truck against that. Again, I'm not saying that it's going to be $10,000. I'm just telling you that I have to cover myself there.
Yeah.
And I hope you would understand that.
$10,000 is the maximum?
Yeah. Okay. And the reason I'm calculating it is $10,000 is because if there's a $60,000, $70,000 damage to that truck, 9 times out of 10 insurance company will write the truck off totally, and then neither one of us have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But if it's a $40,000, $30,000 issue, $10,000 is enough depreciation on that truck to help me, get rid of it.
I still have to repair it and ask our insurance company to pay.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I would like to have from you two is I would like to see a cost comparison. I'd like to look at the last, say, 5 years. What have you paid for repairs?
Okay.
And compare that with the $18,000 and $15,000 a year, so that when my constituents or anybody else asks me, they say, "Oh, well, to all of us right now, it sounds like a really good deal." Mm-hmm. Okay, and nobody can deny that. But I have to answer to my constituents, and so I want to be able to say, "Yes, it's a good deal," because we're going to say, just in the road department alone, we're going to save X amount of dollars.
Over the last 2 years, I have spent $85,000 on the
fair. I'd just like to see for a 5 year, and that way, I've got something concrete to tell people. This sounds great, but.
Also, we got something we need to look at too, is with my trucks, I think, and two, is the downtime that they're not in service.
Yeah.
2 a week. And in the last 6 months, I wouldn't be scared to say that I have 2 trucks down a day and have all 4 of them in 1 day down.
Well, then tell us what the impact
okay. Of
that being down meant to the county, meant to the citizens. What did it mean?
Okay.
We
had, like coming on weekends and a little overtime trying to fix the trucks getting ready for next week.
Madam Chair, you can't see me, but I'm back here.
Okay.
I prepared, we need some data because we had just this decision, this traffic decision. So give us what you can as far as what we've spent on maintenance. And I think we have a pretty good understanding of the lease arrangements. Now I'd like to just put you on the spot now. Hank, the 2 trucks, you feel comfortable leasing the 2?
Yes, sir. So
what do you know?
I've got one that's a 2016 model, and 2 that's like a 2008 model.
And here you need 4.
And I don't have a whole lot of issues.
All right, would you give us enough time to let Lawanda check out with some of these other counties, mm-hmm. how this thing has worked for them. And my inclination at this time, until I look at all the data, is I'm in favor of this for the 2 and the 4 to get started with it.
Mm-hmm.
And after a year or two, if this doesn't work out, then we'll buy some trucks from
together. And what the lead time. In other words, let's say y'all bang the gavel today and say, give me six trucks.
Yeah.
I won't get another. I have two trucks, dump trucks, sitting in Fayette, Alabama right now at a body company that I could have prepared, ready. Y'all be busting boats and hauling dirt with them in 45 days if you made a decision today.
Mm-hmm.
So I can have two dumps for Hank that fast.
I thought it was roll-off
trucks. Roll-off trucks, in the next probably 2 to 3 months, I could have him all for
it. I hear you. I mean, I know that we're getting to the critical point with the roll-off trucks. We have money budgeted to purchase one now, but do you feel like that we can, it's reasonable to limp along for another 2 to 3 months?
I think so. Overall, with what we've been through, I think we can. We have sent one over to the next strand. It was over there for 3 weeks, and that's the Mack dealership over in Lake City. And they kind of went through that one truck we were having a lot of issues with. The other ones, you know, it's a day-to-day hose, is like he's talking about. Engine-wise and transmission, I think we can run them and have no problem, like big expense. They just nickel and dime us to death. And also, like I say, the downtime is killing us. You wake up and all your sites are full and you got 4 trucks dead, won't even run.
All right, now, 18,000 piece and 4, is that 72 on?
72,000.
And you've already got budget for one new truck.
What are you going to do this?
We've got the money to do your 72,000. Now, did you budget for a truck?
No, it's from another dump truck.
We can use that same difference that Gary will need.
Two different funds,
because his is MSCU. We'll take all the same stuff.
Well, we can. I mean,
we have got funds.
Money invested, yes.
We have money
in the 1 cent sales tax. I think we have 1 point.
Well, Hank can get his other 1 cent sales tax.
Well, they both could. Yeah.
They both could.
Yeah. But does.
All right, let's get a little while to do some research and get back with
you. Swap it from
yeah, because I can't make a decision.
It's better because I'm waiting
wait on that.
How many employees has that affected in the last, well, did you say you had all this downtime?
What happens is when it goes down, they usually, I got one mechanic, he'll help the mechanic try to work on the truck, he'll go down to recycling and work. And if it's really extreme, he may not even come in that day or something. You know, it just depends. If they show up to go to work thinking the truck's going to run, we've had multiple trucks break down at the landfill down there. So he stays with the truck, mechanic gets there, and they help work on it to get it up and running.
But did you know that if you're waiting on a part, it's going to be X number of days or weeks to come in, then how do you work your people during that time?
Well, like with this last truck for 3 weeks, that guy there, the truck driver, he came in, and we have a part-time guy. He made the part-time guy get down to the recycle barn because we were short of inmates for a whole year. That recycle barn, it's slammed full of cardboard. He made help with cardboard down there every day down there. That's what we did for the 2 weeks he was on.
Yeah.
We just had it down on the cycle.
Did you want to say
something? I had a question for Hank there. Y'all had a truck turned over on 98 last year. Mm-hmm. What did that cost to fix it?
I think it was 17,000.
17.
Between 15 and 17.
So that's coming in. That's coming in under it.
Yeah.
That would come in under the
yeah.
guidelines for you go to floor 7.
That particular incident would have yes, sir.
But we followed with our insurance company for the repairs, and we received reimbursement.
Jefferson, that incident where their truck was damaged to the extent that it was, I mean, they did not pay $10,000. I didn't get them $10,000, it wasn't for $4,000. It actually, the 10 is a number of
extreme.
Thank you. I mean, because because the customer that ended up coming in to look at the truck, I had to disclose that to him. I said, look, you know, they had this truck and they ran it and it's got $23,000 on it, but they dumped the load of line rock and it laid it over on the side, damaged the door, we put a new hood on it, we put a blah, 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 blah. And he said, oh, I can't even tell it. He said, well, what are you going to do for me considering that it was damaged? I said, I'm going to give you an extra $5,000 off the price of the truck. He said, well, I'll take it. Well, I ended up, Jefferson County only paid $4,000 to recuperate that thing. So it, you know, it may not break. I mean, I know y'all got to look after your county, and you should, and you've got to ask these questions, and you've got to watch out for things, you know, and I get that. But I can tell you the other nine counties, and the one who'll find this out as he's moving through, calling and checking in with some of these people, this is a very good opportunity for you guys, for the county. It's a very good opportunity for these gentlemen trying to run these departments with newer, dependable equipment. And it's a super opportunity for me. And like I said at the very beginning, very rarely in our industry do you have win-win situations, and this is definitely a win-win situation.
Last question.
Yes.
Of these 8 or 9 counties that you use, that use your services now, the one that's been in your program the longest length of time, is it 3 years, 2 years, 4 years, 5 years?
Madison County's done this for on and off over 12 years.
Oh, okay. And that RO there must be the working public.
Liberty County's been doing this quite a while.
They don't have any tax base. They don't have any tax
base. They don't have a tax base.
Oh, I'm talking about this. You heard it?
Sounds good.
I had some counties, when they introduced themselves to this program, they had the money to do it. I mean, talking, for example, if you had $180,000 budgeted for Gary for a roll-off truck, they would buy a roll-off truck. I'm going to pay $180,000, buy a truck, and they own it. But in 13 months, guess what they want to do? They want to swap it and get a new one for $18,000, and they're upgrading every year for $18,000. It's still, either way you cut it, getting a new truck every year and looking at your budget and saying, well, this is only costing me $1,100, $1,200 a month or $18,000 a year to run a brand new, fully covered, fully warranted,
not smelling
your thing, right?
Yeah. Another thing to look at too is $150,000 over a 10-year period. Yeah, you will pay $150,000 for a brand new truck, but you're still getting a brand new truck every year. You're not left with a 10-year-old
truck. If you paid now $150,000, bought a brand new truck, and you run it for 10 years, this is not a knock on you, Hank. Hank ain't driving any trucks every day. Y'all are hiring people, and, I'm not going to put my neck on the line that truck in 10 years, after 15 different people, 30 different people have driven this truck, no telling how many miles, no telling how many dents, dings, fender benders, and everything else, in 10 years that a $150,000 truck's going to incur, you don't have a $20,000 truck at the end of it, period.
Let's go have a pile of maintenance.
Car, yeah. Well, I'm into that. So you net over 10 years, put $120,000 into it, but in the 10 years, how many times have you had to do what he's talking about with 3 weeks of downtime, getting this fixed, getting that fixed, replacing this, replacing that? One engine, one transmission has put you over $150,000, period. So trading every year $15,000 or $18,000 respectively is just...
Looking at the mileage we got on these trucks, that $15,000 is a real good price. So the transmission costs that much.
Yeah.
One transmission, if you got enough mileage on 40 trucks, transmission go out to that.
Mm-hmm. Very well could.
Very well could. You know, I'm not saying it will. It might last 4 more years, but you can't draw. You could have one of our crew truck here cost $15,000 just like that. You wouldn't have nothing to go for it, but it's been that much mileage on it. You run another few years.
And keeping in mind, both of these trucks that I'm quoting will be automatic transmissions.
Yes.
Driver retention is so much better with an automatic transmission. I mean, you can hire, guy that's just fresh out of the driver university and throw him in the wheel behind the wheel of this thing, because automatic transmissions make it so much easier to keep and hire drivers. You know, they're user friendly.
I could drive it maybe.
Yeah.
And then Russ is gonna get a lot better gas money too.
So I'm not paying $40,000, $48,000.
Well, I've got one, that new truck we just bought, she's at 81,000, she's 2 years old. But that's the one that runs back full.
And that's the one everybody finally gets.
No, there's one person driving it. It goes back full to Jacksonville and gets our coal mix.
And they send the water and the private people, I know there's advantages, tax advantages.
They turn right around and buy them after y'all have had it for 1 year.
If you don't lease to them like you're trying.
I lease to them, they.
Why do they do that?
So they have to pay for the left side.
And that's a difference.
That's a difference, that's why I'm calling you.
You make a win-win out of that for us. Well, we talk about this all day, but okay.
I do have one question. How many rural sites you get?
Bunch of them.
I've got three.
I got one.
There's nine.
Nine?
Over the county, nine.
Now, Mr. Davis, at the end of the day, this is a 5-year contract.
It's a 100-year contract if you want it to be. The only stipulation I put in here is that if y'all, like I said, you bang the gavel today, we do it, we're going forward. I need 6 months warning or notification that you're not going to re-up and do it again the next year. And the only reason I need that 6-month notification is that guess what I gotta do 6 months before you get your new truck? I gotta start ordering, building, and planning. So if in March of 2019, y'all jump on board with 4 roll-off, 2 dump trucks. By April, May, June, July, August, September. By September, October, I'm reaching out to these two guys, or you, and saying, hey, are we good to go for 2020?
And so we can break the...
You can break this anytime you want to. You call me and say, hey, we decided we don't want to do it.
Okay.
Well, we just want to, at the end of this year, we want to sell you the truck and move on and do our own thing.
Okay. I want to thank you for being here today. It's been very informative and interesting. We have a little bit of homework to do, and then after we get that and talk to other customers of yours, then we'll reconvene on this subject, and then we'll let you know.
And if anything pops up, I'm about to get 3 miles down the road, and y'all say, dang, these guys have my number. You're more than welcome to call me individually. Personally, I don't care. I mean, I'm open 365.
Is this something we're going to have to bid out?
No, I can answer that.
We can piggyback.
You can piggyback off of the city of Tallahassee. We have an RFP, a continuing RFP that's good through 2022. So the purchase price of the trucks, roll-off dump truck, medium-duty truck, we have an RFP that encompasses everything you could possibly want to buy from us.
Who competes with? Is there another company that does this?
Every truck dealer in the United States competes with it. They ain't just
good ideas.
They won't go out and do what I'm doing. They won't take it. They just have nobody, no other manufacturer, Peterbilt, Kenworth, Freightliner, none of them are willing to put it out there that their trucks will bring back this much money like we are. Mack is the industry leader in the vocational side of our business.
But are we gonna have to get other companies to give us a bid on it just like him? No. We're not going to have to?
You don't have to if we piggyback off an existing.
That's
right. That's a process for us. So we definitely need trucks. That's the best. So if it's all has to do with bidding, if we're piggyback, that's the right to go, I think.
So what I would do is, with concurrence from the board, I can send this to Conrad and also include the question if we need a copy of everything from the city of Tallahassee.
You will need the copy of the contract from the city of Tallahassee. You will need a copy of, you'll actually get a, now I handle the selling price and the return purchase price of the truck. Leasing 2 is a sub-leasing company based out of California, but their office is in Tampa. They handle your financing, and you are financing the truck under a lease contract for 13 months. But at the end of the 13 months, I buy your lease out, and I give you documentation, the capital truck, is purchasing the trucks from 13-month period. Conrad will look through it, Conrad's gonna say cross this I and dot this T, and then y'all will approve it, and then we move forward. So it's relatively simple, but it's as simple as Conrad makes it.
Okay, we've got
to put it on the
agenda.
Thank you so much. Thank y'all. Yeah, thank y'all. Thank you. Don't hesitate if you've got any questions.
Okay, number two, road maintenance, materials, I guess. Thank you.
This is just to answer, just to touch on the question that was brought up at the last strategic planning session about stockpiling road materials, and Mr. Page did want to hear back from Hank.
Hank, you remember when we had flooding and we had some roads where the water was running over, yeah, and you couldn't get all those.
Well, then those five on the five and still came.
Still came. And the thought occurred to me is at times when it's not flooding, what do you think about us stockpiling some number five?
If we can stockpile it, I don't have room in my yard.
You don't have room?
No, sir. If we can stockpile it, maybe at the airport where we have that million stockpiled out there.
Yeah.
But you're looking at number five rocks, $21 a ton.
So I'm going to have a pile of money out there.
Yeah, my budget can't handle that. I pay $7.75 a ton for lime rock, and that number five rock is $21 a ton.
So we use that sparingly?
We use it sparingly. The only time we really use it is if we have a hole in a road, in county road, that's full of water. We put the number five rock in to build it up above the water level, and then we cap off the lime rock. Because you can't put lime rock on water, it just makes a muddy mess.
So it was more of an issue this past year with all the flooding.
Yeah.
And Hank, what is your line item budget for road materials?
160.
160.
And at the last couple of years, I've had to park my dump trucks in September because I'm out of rock money. So my budget can't handle stockpiling a big bunch.
Yeah, we can do that. Thank you.
No, we can't do it unless. Well, for example, I don't know, I got a little bit of rotating money in District 1, so I wouldn't want to use all that stockpile, a big old pile of $21 rock, and you can buy $6 rock. So I think my idea, if you look at it economically, you know, money-wise, is not a very good idea.
That was a good idea.
That was a good idea, but I didn't realize that was an idea. In the back of the rock.
Right.
So, we'll use regular rock. Now, you do, and I don't see how you can operate with just $160,000 to buy lime rock, to be honest with you.
Like I say, the first of August sometimes,
if you hear on that
part, the dump trucks on that rock money.
I think if that, I would ask the board to consider if that happens this year, consider.
Well, and the last 3 years, you've got to take into account, we have had three storms too, so, we've done a lot of repairs in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
But I hate to just stop our repairs because we're out of money. I would rather at least ask for consideration.
Come back to us when you run out of money, and we'll see what we can do.
I had to give off Mayo and Cabot Road.
Yeah.
I was thinking haul off from Mayo Cabot Road and said year ago. That's it.
What we generally do, Mr. Riley, when we're in St. Hatch or down that way, we haul from Mayo. And when we're on the north side of town, we haul from
Mayo.
Rob was about the same price, those places.
Yeah.
It was a different quality, too. I used to
buy it. It is a different quality.
Big time.
How are you looking right now, this early in the year, in terms of your lime rock, what you...
Well, I'm just now getting caught up on some of the promises I made last year when I ran out of rock money, so... Plus, we've got a lot of county roads that we're still working on.
So, how much did the private roads, did that...
That really didn't come out of my budget now, because y'all agreed to take that out of your paving funds, each district commissioner. So all we haven't got to do, I got four more left to do, and we're actually working on those today. So
you'll be got four more profits to do?
Yes, ma'am.
Do we have any public roads that the private roads are being put ahead of?
Well, we have the CC grade up there. It's in a mess right now.
Okay, then I know this is not on the agenda, but for one commissioner, I don't want private roads and driveways done before we do public roads.
Okay.
That should, well, it shouldn't ever be, period. But since we're stopping it, that should be the last thing, I should be talking to you. That should be the last thing we do are these private roads.
And I've got pretty much the roads that people live on. Doesn't anybody live on the 60 grade? One reason why we got junk on it yet. I know it's in bad shape. I know we need to fix it. But I've been concentrating. Like I've done one yesterday, a private drive, and then we went yesterday afternoon and worked on a county road. So I'm trying to.
He's just trying to fit it in so we can finish, because I don't care about
our public roads that have been put behind private roads that we shouldn't be doing anyway.
Oh, those four private roads that you still have to do, don't have to do, but they're on the list of it.
Yes.
Are they large projects? Are they small ones?
I would want to say hopefully in the middle of next week we probably can finish all those up by the middle or end of next week.
Well, I think we need to bring this to a close on the private roads, because I get complaints. That's generated. People are asking their questions. They call me. You're my commissioner. And I was told that if you tell road department that I'm going to come out here and fix my private road, sorry, ma'am, but that was a 7-day window back in the state of emergency, and that's over. And I don't have the authority to tell the road person or go on to better fix your private road. Well, you're doing it for other people.
I understand.
And so it causes some grief on my end. So
that's right.
We need to get these four done, though. We don't need to leave them hanging all the other people out there.
Well, I don't agree with this commissioner. I agree with both of them. I think that we need to do the private roads as it fits in your work schedule when you kind of caught up, so to speak, because you won't ever catch up on public roads. But go in and do them and get them done. And let's don't add any more to that.
Oh, we have not. This is the list from September. And, you know, I know the board understands that we have had torrential rains, and that creates a lot of maintenance issues on our collector roads. I mean, it's just been nonstop between storms and the continued rain. And then and then it does take time out of our schedule to keep answering these citizens who know they're on the list and we haven't done yet. And I think staff feels, you know, kind of caught, like we need to finish, but we have other work we need to do as well. So the thought process was, just if you have a day here or there and nothing else is tremendous pressing, then try to get it done so we can close the votes on this and be finished with it.
And I want to say, I'm not don't mean to slam you. If it sounded that way, I apologize, because that's not my intent. We just have not given, in my opinion, we've not given the proper direction to our administrator. We should have long ago said, when we first got into this nightmare, that these private roads come behind our public roads. But we didn't jump in and do what we should have done. We let it go on. And so here we are. And I know I appreciate you getting a lot of my public roads done, because, you know, that's more important than private driveways. Okay. Thank you.
I know your attorney's not here, but I was sitting in this office when prior actions has been taken against Ford for doing work on private property. You need to be very careful, because if somebody files a complaint, guess what? And Conrad's not here to tell you that, but it needs to be said.
Yeah, it's probably known. I wouldn't be surprised.
But anyway, there's a lot of complaining out there. There is.
Okay, listen, if we will, let's take a, before we go on to the next one, which is going to take a considerable amount of time, let's take a 5-minute
break. We appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, you ain't in here. Good job.
Oh, y'all.
Good
job. Appreciate it, man. Let's take a 5-minute break and then we'll
be on.
Y'all, we have donuts, coffee, water. And then do you want pizza again for lunch? Is that okay?
Whatever y'all are.
You gotta eat the donuts first.
You'll never take that, right?
I know you'll get the CC, but you'll get the money. That part.
Robbie, turn off.
Can I listen?
Yes,
I got input on this.
Robbie, you turn off down there on the cafeteria. That first line over there, Robbie, there's a sign there, man.
Yes, sir.
Is somebody on the old sign there or? Well, some of these we're doing is, yes. I'm at partially in bad shape.
Every time I see a deal, you know, I'm going, there's a hunting club that has to shut that deer hog over there. All that stuff. I'm here and basically. You know, with a house.
That's another hunting zone there, too.
That's another hunting zone. But they, according to Dale, the hunting club has put in these signs.
There's some signs. Right when you pass the rock right there, there's one there.
He wants another sign. He wants some up there around Oakland Church. It's all through there where his property is and where he said, that's good. I don't know where Jim Dunn's house is.
Yeah.
There's plenty of signs down
there. Well, we didn't have any bread.
Don't need it, but gotta have one. Gotta have it, one.
How many did they make to your landfill?
Oh, I imagine that we send 5 or 6 trucks a day from this county. Yeah. Now, Cross City doesn't make 1 or 2 loads a day because they bring a big old long
semi
and a half pack in there. And so they don't make as many runs. Because as far as they got different cities.
Yeah.
They got a pleasant cycle. They put all the garbage in there and they flush it on that big semi and they just not run as much. But it's a steady stream, you took all the garbage on there every day. That's long suffering. See, we don't carry many tons when we go. Take one of those boxes and put the limbs in it. Cops is not about money, you got to a day center. But you run that truck down the road, they haul into the field. You just thought about that kitchen system we run around.
It's
trucks. No problem, world wouldn't.
My world would not do it.
And I'll make this the same on my serious.
I'm sorry, I'm calling. It's all in place. That is.
And with what time you
have? There's tax issues with that.
Oh, good.
Things to say, no, it's true. There's also things to say, profitability.
I thought you had the new burger. I'm glad you're gonna be here. Yeah, I'm totally on.
Well, that's my concern. I'm not saying it's a bad deal. I'm just saying.
When you talk about.
I'll keep it.
This issue we're meeting on this afternoon, important thing, really.
But.
Just do the tax debate for the next. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, was that on?
That's the next one.
That's your walking all that next.
Next one, sure. No, tax debate, yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah, that's it. I was thinking we were going to restore that, yeah.
And then restore, I mean, that's the four of the four. I got some.
So, I mean, if you're not going to say.
Let's do tax debate. Make sure we got plenty of time to follow this information.
I can tell you. That's fine.
One question I have is, with the new equipment, is it does it have? That's another thing. And it could be a very simple thing, you know, depending on time.
Okay, the next thing on our agenda is number three, tax abatement.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, you too.
What I'd like for us to do today, I think we're accomplishing for y'all to do this, is to discuss and decide how we're going to, how this ordinance is going to look. How's the county going to figure it so that it's a win for us and a win for the businesses? We have two before us that we're going to have to vote on at our special meeting today. So we've got a lot of work to do. This is a very critical issue in my opinion. I know there's been a lot of conversation back and forth and some things that have been not clear to some of us. And I have made, I'm going to go ahead and say what I have to say, and then anybody else can say what they've got to say too. But I've spent a lot of time in the last 2 or 3 days making notes and stay up at night, so I'm trying to, you know, figure out what is the best thing for us to do, which I don't have all the answers, but I do have some ideas. And the one thing that I want to say is that this tax abatement, the purpose of this tax abatement, and our willingness to do it is, of course, to help the companies, but at the end of the day, it's to get jobs for us. We're doing this because we want jobs.
Right.
We want Taylor County people to have jobs in Taylor County. So I think that we have to make sure that the businesses that are applying for this, that they know that we want jobs, and I think it's incumbent upon them to prove to us that they've done what they say. So I think that for the companies, I'm just going through some of my notes that I've made, is that these companies need to be clear and understand what they're committing to. If you say you're going to add 10 employees, and I want to qualify that, it should be 10 employees. permanent employees.
Full-time.
Full-time permanent employees, not you've got a special project, and in a month, there's only three, you can say, well, I hired 10 employees or 15 or however many it is.
It's all minimum wage.
Right. We're looking for high-paying, good, permanent positions, so.
Benefits.
With benefits. And so if they come in, if they tell us, we're going to put on 10 people or 100, whatever it is, that's great. We're going to take you at your word for that. But by January, what, 31st, you have to come before us every year and give your annual report and bring proof, that you have got, still have 10 full-time permanent employees. If you don't, then you're going to owe us back some money, because that's only fair. We're going to, this is a partnership between the county and a business, and we want to help you, we want to give you, you know, we want to help you out, but in the meantime, you've got to fulfill your commitment to this county for us doing something for you too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like I said, it's the responsibility of the businesses to bring us that proof every year. And if you can't prove it, you're going to owe us some money for what you've just paid. And then you won't qualify for 10 more for the next year. You know, you have to keep that amount you said, yes.
Can't we get that in the contract?
I was just saying.
Where we would have to say, if you do drop down to 6 employees out of your 10, we can cut you a certain percentage of your thing. Not cut them all the way out, but we need a scale to go by.
That's what I'm saying.
And then it needs to be a legal scale. Something Conrad we need to work with and get it where if they go out of business, go bankrupt, you know, that line it up, you know. But the thing is, most people, they'll hire 10 off the get-go, and then as soon as they can, they'll cut the cone, you know. So that's just a little sum, you know.
Right, if you say you're going to have 10, and when you come give us the annual report, and you only have proof for 4, then you're going to owe us some money back. You're going to owe us, what, 40%?
The way it is now, we have a way of cutting it down. If we don't have any legal...
I'm glad you brought that up, Jim, because I've been doing a lot of things about just what you talked about. And I'll just use this for a second. The factory over here that's going to bring in the line, and they're going to hire 100 positions. Well, the first year, we're going to abate them at 100%. There's got to be some accountability. And then at the end of that first year, you come in here and you say, well, we didn't get the $35. Well, we'll cut you to 35%.
That's right.
Now, that's right. You want to say,
if you don't do what it says,
say five on the other. Bruce Bradley, now, there's only one person that's getting that abatement, and that's Michael Quinn on those buildings. He did that, we all did it, because of the employees he had to build in the first room. He's not going to keep getting employees playing in that part of
the when he brings in his report.
Well, let Bruce manage. He manages homes in position, he manages all of those other divisions, but puts the burden on the applicant to first tell you what he's going to do, then put the burden, and I'll talk to Bruce. Bruce administers homes in position, that's just another exemption. That cleans it up to me. You don't have to come to the board and say I did it. You don't have to vote you did it. Up to Bruce, your property president, whoever that is, I'll be able to take care of
it. Bruce doesn't have any employees he currently has?
He got to give a report.
Just looking at it looks like that there's never been a report form developed for them to file that report. Now, before you had blanks. They had an exemption to 2016. They also got some kind of grant through the state that required a lot of the reporting that would have been done to the boards. And theirs expired in 2016.
Well, so. Kenny Jones expired too. Whenever he got hired, Ben LaValle, he saw it here. They managed that. When that clock ticked, they lost it. Okay? He looking at Michael Lynn now. Is he still in compliance? You know?
Well, he wasn't in compliance to start with.
If you look
at your ordinance, it says that if the value of that property was on the tax roll at the previous year when they applied, and they paid taxes that year before, then they're not qualified. And he did. I checked with a property appraiser. He was on the tax roll for 2017, and this thing was done in 18, so he would have been exempt for 18, but he wasn't qualified to start with.
Yeah.
Because it says 10 full-time employees. Well, if you say part-time employees, it may be the yard man that cleans the yard up once a month or once every
week. They hire however a week just to get a thing.
Right. And that's why I'm right now that I wanted to bring these points up. So going forward, we can't fix the sins of the past. Right. But going forward,
right,
we can have a better plan in place to protect ourselves, protect them, and do it right. You know, we want to be a good partner with the businesses, but you know, we're going to hold up for our commitment, but we want them to hold up for their commitment, which is Taylor County's permanent full-time jobs.
Well, if you look at it right now, Michael Lynn is not in compliance because I think Lamont has got a report that was done before January 31st.
That's on his. That's true, but I will have to say in the past that Lance especially has submitted annual reports. Now, part of that time that was to receive QTI payments.
That's right.
That was administered through OSHA, I think, yes. So there has been compliance, but it looks like the way the ordinance reads is those reports are submitted annually to the county administrator, and then it would be at the will of the board if that's actually submitted in a public meeting or how that is communicated to commissioners.
Well,
but I will say that in the past it looks like other companies have been tardy and we have not just taken their exemption away. Just looking at what's happened in the past.
This board has never voted to take an exemption away. The clock ticked out by anybody.
Right, the exemption applies to what's on the land.
Yeah.
You don't get an exemption for the actual real property.
Yeah.
So you don't know where, I don't know when Lance closed. They were approved for 10 years and that expired in 16.
Correct.
If they closed before that time and there was still an exemption after that, then you may have a problem with that. I don't know.
He's talking about, he keeps up in Bruce's office.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they look at Robert me and now, Michael me and now. I'm pretty man. I'll tell you all this, TCBA got some real cleaning up to do, and I sent y'all an email. I didn't put everything in that email that I know. But I've asked 5 questions of the director, and he hasn't answered yet.
Well, according to, I want to do this. Let's stick to the tax abatement right now. We'll talk about PCDA later.
Well, according to your county ordinance, the application is made to TCDA, and somebody's supposed to review it in 10 days. And within 30 days, and it says, or as soon as practical, they're supposed to review that application and make a recommendation. And I looked on Gulf Coast Plumbing, and see, you get into theirs too. Gulf Coast was on tax roll last year. They did not qualify. Because their tax value was extended to the tax roll last year, full payment, and now they've made an application after the fact.
Has TCDA endorsed that?
No, they didn't do it right there. TCDA doesn't want it. They want to give it to you if you make the decision. But TCDA board, if you make it clear as one member, we'll make a recommendation. If it fits the criteria, we'll say yes, it doesn't, we won't. But
looking at the paperwork I got, Gulf Coast Plumbing's application was filed with TCDA on October the 29th of 18. And according to the letters and stuff that's attached to your documents, TCDA, they looked over the application review on January 17th of 19. That's a little bit more than 10 days.
Okay,
and more than 30.
All right, now we're jumping around from Michael Lynn to Gulf Coast to Tough Factory. Mm-hmm. Let me just start with Gulf Coast. Now, most of us know Russ and I, former students, so is Wagner.
sorry children, a lot of friendship there. Commands, he almost admitted it here to us, and he doesn't qualify.
Yeah.
Because he's not bringing 10 jobs.
Yeah.
He's got 5, and he may add 5. Well, that's not bringing 10 students. And plus,
He was not on the tax roll.
Yeah. Now, I cannot vote, even though he's a dear friend, to give him a tax exemption, because he does not qualify. And I think Russ understands that.
Mm-hmm. He does, I don't believe
him
about
yeah.
it.
He got here
talking about it. He understands.
I think we're all right with that. So this afternoon, we need to deal with this one. We're all in agreement. All right. All right.
Go ahead.
All right, now let's go to Michael Lee. I don't know how I made this mistake, because I voted for this. And if I recall, stay up at night trying to remember, Marco Lynn's request came about the same time as the request for this big apartment complex, which we had read.
It was that.
It was just a little bit after that, right?
He said, you're going to do it for them, do it for me.
Yeah, the thing that came to me is, if you're going to do it for these investors that are out of town, you're going to do it for this local boy.
That's right.
And our attorney did not pick up and alert us that the wording in that ordinance is all he said that I'm bringing is 25 part-time jobs. Well, that he doesn't qualify.
Well,
I would suggest that on the Michael Lynn issue, that we ask our administrator to request his report, which was due January the 31st, and let's look at it. Let him come and bring us some mock data. If you can justify that you've got 10 jobs, and I'm going to say something other than something written on the back of an envelope, I got 10 jobs.
Right.
I want to see some documentation, some tax forms. And if he can't do that, then I have no choice but to vote to terminate that.
I agree with all of that.
All he said, he did nothing.
That's not the president had that year, that. He just
that's not what the ordinance says. The ordinance
says they will
do that in your orders, and that's the property appraiser.
Ordinance says that they will bring it to the county administrator who will make a recommendation to the board.
Fine. Let's change the orders and let the property appraiser administer the tax exemption.
I don't want to give up that card.
No, I don't want to do that. I understand what you're saying, Holly, as far as the workload, but I think the purpose of that is so the board can make a decision. The property appraiser does not report to the board. I do.
Yeah.
And I can get data from
That's fine. Yeah. All right, let's go back to my plan on how we could handle Joe Robert Lynn. Does that make pretty good? Is that fair?
Yes.
I think it's real fair.
Yeah.
I made the same mistake you did, and I was looking at that other book coming in, trying to come out of town. But now, Michael, when he filled out the paperwork, he knew good and well that it said put 10 full-time employees. Because when he filled out the paperwork properly, he read all that. It's on the paperwork.
So now, if he knew them and he could justify to us and he asked him good-paying, full-time employees that were added to, we might have to let him continue with that.
And his company probably has 10 full-time employees.
It's 10 new employees.
Yeah.
But it's Sandy Grove Investments that has to comply.
Only a apartment.
And if, I don't know why somebody didn't go back and check the tax roll the year before he made the application. But on the 2017 tax roll, his building was assessed at $1,203,700.
Which one is this?
This is a Michael Lynn.
Yeah.
And the land was assessed at $94,190, which you don't get an exemption. But your county ordinance says that if it was on the tax roll the year before, they're not qualified.
So he carries covered and raises personal attorney and CCDA attorney, he got it done. Okay, Mike told me.
But that's a bomb deal.
I'm like Commissioner Page and Commissioner Moody said, we all voted from emotions, from our heart, rather than from our brain. Because, when they say you let these people from out of town come in and you do it for them, and we got somebody here local, and so it pulled our heartstrings, but we shouldn't have done that. But going forward, go ahead.
All right, now, I'm just sort of laying out how I feel about it, and you all can feel free to disagree with me, but we've talked now about how we can deal with the Michael Lynn issue. We talked about how we can deal, apparently, with the Russ Knight issue. This apartment complex thing, there's no need to do anything on that. They haven't built anything yet. So we can just let them just sit there and just watch it.
You know about the
park
complex?
Yeah, they got to tell us about the slow students in
there. Let
me think about it. Where are you talking
about? Not that
they'll
ever do anything. I doubt it.
Let's do not supposed to be a hell of a park.
Now, who's the ex-public official that contacted the vendor and told them don't do it?
It wasn't me.
I'm not related.
I'm not ready. We'll give it a chance.
Okay. Well, just the thing on, because I'm going to have to leave at noon. I've got an appointment. On the one for the chip factory, what I looked at there was they asked him for an exemption for 19. And they're just requested on the new equipment. And according to the information, the equipment won't be delivered until sometime in May. The intangible tax return for the year of 19, I'm not sure when that deadline is, do you know? That won't, when he made his return, I think it's due sometime first of the year along with
that. It's not January 1.
Yeah.
Later.
He has to make a return, that equipment won't be on there.
Right.
But then if you grant him an exemption and he adds it in May, and they add it to the tax roll, he's going to get an exemption on some equipment that he didn't actually put on his return.
Well, his exemption would start to fall.
Following year. Yeah. So when y'all consider that, you may want to say, and you may want to
talk
about
it. I don't want to
tell it. Right. Yeah. And say, this exemption will be again when you put that equipment in and it's put on your intangible tax return. Yes.
And the employee debt.
Yes.
I'm not really sure, but I believe he leased the building and brought the equipment to the county.
He told the board the other night that May of 2019,
he would have
$20,000. So that's just for the board's consideration. You may want to affect, make his effective next year if that's the case.
Well,
next time,
but
let me get back to my thinking on the pub. He asked for, he promised he'd bring, quote, up to 100 jobs. Well, 11 is up to 100.
No.
Now, there's a table, commissioners, I'm sorry, in your packet, excuse me, Mr. Page, I just want, this was provided to us yesterday, and the front page kind of explains. I mean, it puts the numbers out for y'all.
All right, direct jobs. Projected to be added is 100.
Yes, sir.
So they changed it now from up to 100. The boy said it's 100.
Or more.
Or more. So based on the fact that they say they're going to bring in 100 jobs and taking into account that we all want jobs in Taylor County, and we don't want this board to be looked at as somebody who's not trying to cooperate. Mm-hmm. With the economic development, I'm willing for 1 year to do 100% of the budget. And that year would start, not this year probably, but the next. And then we would look at the data. And if you're doing what you say you're doing, and you've got your 100 jobs, it's 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And if the third year you still got the 100 jobs, it's 100%.
Right.
So if you fall down there to 44 jobs, it's pretty simple math to me. You get 44%.
I don't even know if they don't do what they say they're going to do, that's bad.
Well, we can do that.
Well, you would dissolve the contract.
Just dissolve it. You give them a second chance. If you come in there the first year, you got to give them a chance. First year, we gave you 100%.
Yeah.
And if you come in the second year, you haven't met your end of the deal is over.
Breach contract.
Yeah.
That's the reason for the annual report.
That's right. And it's over and it's done, and we can just forget about doing it at a reduced rate.
And I think that shows goodwill.
That shows goodwill on our part.
Us wanting to be a partner with the companies, and we will do our part. Right. No doubt about it.
And we cannot be criticized for not being very cooperative.
Right.
100%. You talk about if this thing works out, they fulfill their end of the deal. This is $2,613,000 over 10 years of money that could have been put into the tax road of Taylor County. And you can't expect the company to come in here and pay nothing. And that will be offset somewhat because these are $30,000 jobs now. These people are going to add something to the economy.
That's right.
So I'm willing to do it 100%, 1 year at a time.
I think the question maybe is when all 100 jobs will be materialized. And I think
that's what they need to tell us.
And that I would encourage you to ask that question this afternoon because they'll be here. But that to me was the area of ambiguity that you referred to is when will these 100 jobs?
No accountability, no yes vote from here. Yes. That's the bottom line now.
I sent y'all a memo and I regret that I didn't look at it. I even talked about that then little thing about potential, talking about it, said me you hadn't done it yet, let them do it and then relay them.
And that's what we're talking about. And after 1 year, then you proved to us and you got it another year. If you didn't meet your commitments, then we got to change things. I think you owe us money back.
I believe that the county attorney could probably draft their ordinance and specify each year that upon certification by the Board of County Commissioners that they have met their obligation for the tax year 2020, the property appraiser is requested to extend that exemption.
It could be extended into the year later with that.
And then you wouldn't have to go back and do the ordinance every year.
Okay, now I would like to see a form. And it specifically says what documents they bring. So they don't bring it on the back of an envelope. Let's make this consistent for every business here forward to do the same exact thing, use the same form, the same kind of proofs, and that way we're standardized the process, and that's business.
And on that form, you need to know how long that person's been employed. Because if they put their employment date, then the one that gets that report, she's going to know that that person was put on there yesterday so they comply.
Or they were put on there two weeks ago
so they comply with the 10 employees. If you make them do it on a monthly basis, how many you had each month in that year, you're going to have to tie it down because if you don't, there's going to be a loophole that they're going to find. But
their CPA certified. Put the burden on the applicant.
Yeah.
Certify that they comply.
And the CPA and get their payroll records and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of question is after that first year at 100%, that when Conrad prepared the ordinance, how do you want to read to proceed for the second year? If you come in short, do you just cancel the whole deal or do you give them a percentage?
A percentage.
I think a percentage would make them feel a lot better.
Feel a lot better.
Well, a percentage to a certain degree, because if they drop at such a severity that reflects that they're not going to be in business next year, then we want to dissolve it at that point. But to a degree.
Well, we could put out something loose in the language in the ordinance contract, dude. That Board will renegotiate the contract.
If they know up front, they got to figure that's all. I drop down, it will give them a chance to do better and make sure they got them employees. I mean, if they can.
Hey, but this taxpayer's going to be good. This is not going to make a difference whether they come or not. I work with people trying to buy that plant, and they said, I didn't need it. They beat plants down on the price. I think they got a sweetheart deal on it, okay? And that's where they got their incentive, but it's not too different.
Well, I want to help a business too, because we need jobs, and I think that's our job to try to help make that happen. So I don't want to give them a bad taste about us that we're making. You know, I just want them to feel good about us that we're trying to meet them halfway, and we're willing to do our part.
The rest is going to run them out of here. We don't need to run them out of here.
You're right.
Right.
I mean, They will spend $20 million worth of state county. We need to do everything we can.
Yeah.
Because I don't want that kind of money without hiring people.
Are you on board with so far with what we're talking about?
I'm exactly on board with that.
Commissioner
Gibbs,
yeah.
The sooner the better. Excuse me. The sooner we get this done,
the better.
Yeah, that needs to be done.
Commissioner
Gibbs, you got
the floor. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I tell you something. Now, 10 years is good. But I tell you what, I'd go 50 years with 20 years. I mean, 50% with 20 years. That would be a, that would know they would be here 20 years now. I don't see 20 nobody in the state.
You can't go over 10 years because that's what the voters have agreed.
Okay, well, that's okay. That's okay.
You can extend it.
Well,
out.
This is just a thought that come to my head. We would get the same thing at 50% for 20 years. We would get the same amount. They would get the same amount.
Trouble
is. I have no problem.
Good.
I have no problem.
Well, they have
that they look for. And the reason I haven't had any problem, I was talking to some people who was living in substandard housing, and they say, they tell me that the county commissioner might have a say-so on what's going to happen with the fund. Say, well, $30,000. And say, well, $30,000 ain't a whole lot of money, but it beats nothing. It beats working to a fast food store.
Mm.
Well, then I looked at, went to the website and looked at Taylor County School System. They started hiring teachers at between 28 and 31,000.
That's right.
Ain't bad. But if a man and a woman was, if they were married, and they get $60,000, they can afford a small house and do better. But now the thing we need to teach in Taylor County, I reckon, all over this world, all over this country, is most of moral values. Well, man, you know, when you get a certain age, get him a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Let people do that. Let it be done with two household families. I don't know where we started this. But anyway, my dad was a sawmill worker. My mama done work in a domestic house. My dad was told that he could get help from the federal government if he put us on welfare. He said, that won't happen. And I remember 12 boys. Nobody went on welfare. They work. And that's what we need to teach in this town, you know, rather than a whole lot of this stuff we hear and we see. Now, anyway, the person who was talking to me said, I was hoping that the commission would go ahead and allow these people to come so we can get help. Not only that, I think me and Pam was there that day when they had the little ribbon cutting out, wasn't it? And they were talking about bringing a packaging plant in, you know, and expanding what they got out there. And they were going to serve people like Walmart, Sam's, and whatnot, you know, and the packaging plant was going to do better than the container.
I remember hearing that.
But yeah, so.
Yeah, they could bring packages for all the other companies that make the same kind of product.
Could make us a win-win situation to them.
Now, just go ahead.
We need a tracking system so they don't get through and get by.
Mm-hmm.
So, honest.
Now, what if today at 3 o'clock, these people say, I told you what I'll do, and I want 10 years at 100%, or we're still looking at somewhere else where we may ship this $20 million worth of stuff. What are we going to say to him?
He's already right
that
he doesn't
have a second son.
They are.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, if they challenge us on this,
what is going to
be our response?
Are we going
to bend? If we have that chart to show them, and we've got to do so much, and then they challenge us, say, well, they all falling into that category, I don't think with as much money they probably already got invested in getting here, that they're going to pull out.
I don't think so.
I just can't see them.
They're pulling that threshold.
And we're giving them what they ask for.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh,
yeah. All you got to do is
need to make
a deal. Now, they ask for 100% for 10 years.
Our plan will be 100% for 10 years if you do what you said you would.
And if they got that chart, it's all legal. So if we make that mistake, they're going to cut us, you know, go to 25% or whatever. They'll follow the rule.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, but we'll have to do that legal right for the chain board.
Yeah, they got that plant of bargain. I know what it was.
Yes, big time of debt.
Well, we want to, at 3 o'clock today, we want to, you know, for them to know for sure that we want them to come and that we're willing to work with them and do everything that we can.
Right. Now, what the CFO told me is they need a decision as soon as possible because in, you know, a delay of a week from ordering this equipment can mean a delay in 6 months of production and delivery of the equipment. So they will need to know how fast will we have an ordinance in hand and will this be approved. And I think we decided it would be about a month, maybe the same amount.
Well, what you got to do is come out and prepare the ordinance, right? So all these stipulations you're talking about in that ordinance, mm-hmm. get it to the paper to advertise. Mm-hmm. And have a public hearing on adoption of the ordinance. So we could take 3 weeks unless you calculate the advertising time and the board sets a special meeting just for that.
We could set a special meeting.
Right.
You know, it could be under 30 days.
We have a special meeting on the 28th.
Yes.
Anyway.
So the contract's got to get the proposed ordinance with y'all telling him what you want in that ordinance.
Yeah.
And get the notice to advertise. Now, he could probably do the notice to advertise and do the ordinance later and send it to the board and let you approve that ordinance, the proposed ordinance. So,
and maybe this would be the change in the total ordinance, not just the public. It'd be an ordinance that applies to anybody, right?
Right. Yeah, now the board's current ordinance was done in 2009, I believe it was, the one you're going off of now. You have not redone it since the last election that approved by the voters to extend it. You were off the one you did before, the one didn't say it was 2-9.
So what do we need to do anyway?
Well, I would say that you could grant them an ordinance now under your old county ordinance and then proceed to revive the one you currently have. And put the stipulation there.
It under
your current ordinance. But there's some things in there that you need to be real strict about, this reporting and all this kind of stuff.
We'll be
right. Yes. In their ordinance and get it done within the 30. Yeah.
I think probably they're going to be looking for a time frame this afternoon, from what they told me. So just as a heads up to the board, they want, you know.
Well, the board can make that agreement with him this afternoon as an oral agreement that you're going to give them 100% for a year, 2 years. And then at that time, if they comply,
you've got a year to get your compliance.
And they can order that stuff tonight. As far as I'm concerned,
the only thing I cautioned them about, because they asked that question, and I said, you know, we have to have the board has to have a public hearing until the board votes on the ordinance in hand. I hate to give you any type of answer.
Yes. Now, Sacramento, we're going to deal with them. First, with them.
Hook.
No, I thought we were dealing with you. Okay. Run first.
Yeah.
Do it, and then it is. And then we're going to wait until we get some information back and deal with Michael then and everything.
Well, I believe what's on the agenda as well is permission to extend the deadline for San Pedro Investments.
Okay, so we will do that. Extend it, how y'all want to extend the deadline? There's 30 days, I'll get up in.
What's the date, Mark? I have that March 1st.
You come up for him to file that report?
Yes.
You got to come up.
Well, this is already there, whatever.
It's
March 1st.
February 7th.
You can find out. You talked to them about it. It's already done. Yeah.
But the board has a vote on it.
That's right. What y'all want to do. That's fine.
But March 1st is fine with me because it shouldn't take very long. Write something on the back of the
You have to get some form for us to approve on this forms that everybody fills out.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I just, my concern is if you want me to look to do some research and develop a form and then have Mr. Lynn use that form and then bring it to the board, I don't.
We're doing the form, let us look at it, see if we have any input or whatever, approve that, and then on the last one, what you can do is put it in there, because it's on the personal property. It, it, it's put, they don't put this.
Thank you.
And you put it subject to the new equipment being
added to the personal property tax return to the property price.
Yeah, don't want to give any effect until the equipment is.
I want to talk about time I do it like they've asked, and then they don't comply with it. I would say, you know, they let me go out and do the annual report.
Yes.
But you can put a negative spin on it, so they don't approve it.
Yeah.
I agree.
A year from now, they'll file a report. But that's,
well, I think the question is going to be what's, for me, it's going to be what's how it's written in that ordinance. That ordinance is going to have to spell out that at the end of each year, what I want to look at.
But in order to secure the ad valorem tax exemption, that man is supposed to be sitting here this afternoon. If he will agree that he'll the exemption for a year, 2 years, or whatever, but if he don't, because all he's saying to do it for, are you saying to do it for
him? You just do it, and you for how long you want, but he doesn't comply, and that report comes in a year, he's not in compliance, it's gone.
That's right.
That's what the ordinance says. That's the
word. Yeah, that's I think you read that. He knows that.
That's right.
They do.
That's what it be in all, I don't care.
The bank of boys got to decide if it's going to be 100% for 10 years, or if it's going to decrease.
100% for 10 years, provided he goes by all.
And that'd be for anybody now.
Yeah.
If he hired all them people and paid them that way, more power to it.
Yeah.
I'm all with him 100%.
Absolutely. Just out of the ordinance, we don't have to say it out loud. And always got a good point, but I don't want to put a negative spin on this.
Yeah.
Just so the fine print, it'll get real clear what you will have to bring at the end of the year. And then the board can decide. I'm fine with that. Because you've got to be some accountability.
Put the burden on them.
Put the burden on them.
So in the ordinance that was approved in 2009, in section 11, it says all exemptions granted are conditional. They have to maintain the new business or expansion for the duration of time. In addition, the application is conditioned upon the applicant submitting an annual report to the commission evidencing the satisfaction of this condition. This report shall be on a form adopted by the county. The report shall be received no later than January 31st of each year. It's very clear in our report.
I suggest you read that to the Madam Chair, or get a lot of it.
Yeah, and the other thing, never mind. You probably need to think about the date for Lynn to comply, because your ordinance says that you will be informed.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is on that form. And when you do that form, you put what attachments you want to put on there. If you want a copy of this paper,
that's exactly right.
Yeah.
If you want a chart that shows that John Doe retired on January 1st, 2018, and he's been on the job so long,
yes,
you're going to have it attached to that.
Well, certified CPA to certify this is true information. CPA is not going to do it.
Oh, I'm not there. I think we're going to put ourselves in a very good position if we do it like we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, we can do this form just like the board does a lot of your stuff. It's approved by the county attorney and it is put on the agenda for the chairman to sign the report.
Right.
So if you add this approval by a CPA firm, they have to sign off on that form.
Yeah, they got CPAs, and that to me, it cleans it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing too is I'd like for us to have a standardized letter that we just send out annually, say the first of the last of December, the first of January,
remember
one of them, just reminding them so that because this time is important to me. I mean, if we say January 31st, that's what we mean.
And send them a copy of the form they'll fill out.
So as far as Mr. Lynn, if we need to develop a form and have it approved by the board and approved by the attorney, maybe we need to give them 60 days.
That's what I was saying.
Because that way we could get our ducks in a row and clean up our house, and then he would have time.
You have that. 60 days.
Okay, you're all right. I would apply.
That's all right. As long as we make progress on that.
Okay.
Yeah, we just don't want to play. No, can't get in play, but we want it to go.
But I can't, I don't want to point the finger at this board and say, y'all wouldn't block it.
If we messed up a company that would bring us 100 trucks, we'd all have to leave town.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to.
You can go across the county.
I mean, our work's in the right place. We want jobs. All of us want jobs.
Right, no doubt.
And I really am encouraged by, they specified 100 here. $30,000 jobs. You know, when the former presentation was made, that number was all of us $13 hour jobs, which didn't impress me a lot.
That's for CPA.
It's about $14.35 an hour.
How much?
About $14.35 an hour.
Well, which is that $30 jobs or $14?
No, $14.25 an hour brings us in $29,604.
So we're talking about $14.25
an hour.
I think he said they range from $13 an hour to $30,000 a year.
Right, okay. $13 might be a little bit less.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay, well,
a bunch of years.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what our board is all about. And it makes me feel so good that we, you know, that we are working together on this. We're all on the same page trying to accomplish the same thing. This is what we should be doing. And I'm just proud of this board.
Thank you.
For, you know, what we're accomplishing. I'm proud of our staff for what we're accomplishing. I have to say this. I just feel like it's a new day, a new year in county government, and for the first time I have felt so positive and so good about our government. I know we're moving forward and we're doing things right, and I'm just so proud. That's all I got to say.
Thank you.
I just want to give the board an update on the apartment property, Perry Apartments. Their ordinance said that they anticipated a minimum of $10 million in capital investments in their Perry facility during the next 2 years. Well, their 2 years is up. Five quality jobs. That one was approved with five quality jobs to be created in the first 2 years. And it also said in their annual report, and they've not done an annual report either. So,
but I think they have not received an exemption. I can kind of understand that. Since they haven't received an exemption, I don't know that they are
right
about that.
Well, it talks about that the exemption commencing with the first year, the new improvements and personal property are added to the assessment roll, and that's 9 years after that.
But what are we going to do?
On January 28th, there was a lawsuit filed in my office against this project, and it's complaint for lien foreclosure and for damages. Now, that case has just been filed. How long is it going to take it to go to the court? No, the consulting firm that did the, I guess, initial phase of everything, they didn't pay them. According to this complaint, it's for surveying and other professional services for the properties. The total of value of the survey line was $126,533.50. And they have failed to pay the unpaid principal amount is $65,991.24.
Mm-hmm. Now, they were granted this exemption of five jobs.
Yes.
So they're all already out of compliance. So I'm ready to pull the plug on that one.
They said it's going to be a gated community, $700 a month. Would not be a HUD project. But they supposedly got HUD financing.
That's another
title for apartment, you know, watch out.
No. It's supposed to be 20% subject to HUD rent a month. But never, yeah. But never a South Tower Park.
Yes,
but if you remember now, we just sent one online for $6 million with it. Out of this company, out of Escambia County.
Well, it's a hell of a
project.
That's
the one Tower did, because
they're working on it, you know.
They are?
Yeah, I think so. Good. Like a point, sort of, or something over there, they're going to put canopies or something up there, right?
Good.
But I just want to let the board know the lawsuit's been filed on that one, and that the, if they spent $10 million on what they've done out there, they're going to put a lot of money out there. But see, the tax doesn't become effective until the actual building is constructed and put on the tax roll. The land's not, it's still under ag.
Well, the agreement that we already have with them, now, it, would that be considered null and void at this point in time?
You need your attorney.
Right, it sounds like it would be.
But you got to anticipate a minimum of 5 quality jobs to be created at their parent facility during the next 2 years. Well, their first 2 years is gone.
Well, I remember exactly this thing was recommended to us by TCDA.
Sure was.
It was out of punts when it only had 5 jobs.
So that right there, I mean, we should have never
done that.
We've got to be very careful.
But I just wanted the board to know that the lawsuit's been filed and so whatever y'all decided to do.
Good keeping up.
Good job. What time is it?
It's 11. Okay, are we ready to move on to the next one, Matt?
Madam Chair, can I make one comment? Sure. If you all will look at the ordinance and how TCDA is supposed to function, I'll put you an email. Now, that's the other thing to know. But that really needs to be cleaned up. And Scott's reason working out of town, I think that's no longer there. But we need him here. When he's not here, there's a void that they haven't paid any curves to take care of, you know. And look at that in the light of.
The SOAR Act. Lawanda, you want to lead on this?
Do you want me to ask Kenneth to come down?
If you would like, it's up to you. Just while y'all sitting here, you know, the issue came up this morning about the plans for the hospital. We do have they are very comfortable. So the proper room is so the hospital can have a copy of it. And they're also sitting on the CD, and Dennis can have a copy, and the property appraiser will have a copy, and I'll have a copy, and I'll put it in there with us that. So if it comes up again, then you know, you've got that.
Yeah.
So they can tell where the water line is.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. So we'll get on that. I'm so glad that we weren't doing that tax abatement. I have lost sleep over that. I'm not kidding. I think that's worried me. This next one, too, is worried me.
Which one, this one?
Yes. I'm ready, don't worry, we've got it under control. I'm ready to get things resolved on both these issues. If anybody else is taking a break, if anybody needs to go to the bathroom, now it's probably a good time. Are y'all ready? We're going to go to the bathroom.
What time do y'all want to eat? At noon?
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, the auditor's here, so ask me that. 2 weeks. They're short out here this time, so I just want to. And I swear they're going to be through in 2 weeks.
No fines, right?
So far?
That's oh, God.
Just that.
I said there's no fines.
I know, but.
That's why I thought that was in the bed.
Yes.
How about work?
Really needs a physical copy.
How do they not have one?
I don't know.
I can't fathom that they weren't given a physical set to be one.
I don't have any
idea.
The
day
that he did
one
of the
funds ones.
I think
he's
going
to copy and
scan. I think Mountain Cove and Andy did. And he's going
to.
And his brother was a contractor at that hospital. Is that what you said, Mountain
Cove?
Who that? Cove was a contractor at the hospital, and you. Other Cove was the engineer, right?
Yeah. No. Wayne Jones was the chairman of the board.
Yeah.
John Cleese was the Russell Mark. John and Wayne Mark were a cousin. And Wayne shared that thing to the Cove. And we got our key crew to oversee. He was around there casting pictures all the time. Anyway, I don't think the as-built thing was exactly what the design said. It's corner cut. Both still got a pretty good view on the guy.
Oh, yeah.
For community art science to have a facility like that.
Yeah, in a number of years, you know, the board's looking at some probably major issues with the jail. It's past the 25 years already.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you've got the hospital out there. It's, what, 15 years past?
Yeah.
So you're looking at some major issues with buildings now.
Oh, yeah, he's doing it in New York, too. Up in Brooklyn, well, that. No one likes, no.
Yeah. You don't worry about
it. It's going to wear out no matter what.
Yep.
That's it.
I like old man way out there.
Old man, what are you worried about? I keep doing more fine.
But the problem is, if y'all don't have a strategic plan to do maintenance here and there, so it's like, well, just, you got to make the plan, just buy that board out of it.
Right.
You know, they put the roof on there and repaired the roof several years ago. But that ain't gonna last forever.
Yeah, they think about any time.
Yeah. They did bring that boss.
Yeah, they're working on it now. I thought the truck back yesterday when I got it. They're going to fix it, and then we're going to have to do something to get the next one done, too, but that's how it gets worked.
Yes, ma'am. As we discussed at the last board meeting, we have a deadline for submitting grant applications for the first phase of the POT 3 funding projects. That would be for the feasibility studies. Now, according to our SEP, it's pretty clear what order, you know, we go in and the reason for it. So we provided the approved SEP for Taylor County. I don't know if we can veer from that without an SEP amendment, but I would say that it helps staff if we have some type of guiding document, or it helps me anyway. Just because I have something to continually reference. And I think it makes our process clearer, easier to define, if we know what we say our guidelines are and what rules we are to follow. The big question is, if we choose to veer from this path, what the implications are. It appears that we cannot veer too much without some type of SEP amendment, or it may just be clarification in the grant application. But if we veer very much, we will have to go back to the Gulf Consortium, who will have to go back to Treasury. But I'm not saying it can't be done. This is a very long time frame for this project. So my suggestion would be, if the board chooses to veer from the path we're on, we need to define that and amend our SEP and then start from scratch.
Let's see where we're at.
Correct. Now, so,
first thing we need to do is, you know, when I was a building, I had an SEP, I had an EIT, I had an IPT, and PPP. SEP is what now. I heard that in time.
Our state expenditure plan, and that's what you have in your hand. So we have an approved state expenditure plan, and this is for our POT 3 funds. This is our language, from what I understand, of the direction that we want to go with our top three funds. So within the SEP, there are multiple properties identified. Where we seem to be getting into the weeds is we have citizens who feel like they didn't know there was a deadline. We have two entities that wish to add properties to this list. And so if the board wants us to start the process of submitting grant applications for feasibility studies, we feel like we need guidance from the board. How many properties do you want feasibility studies for? We have funding for 12, it looks like. Do you want less than that? Do you want more? Do we need to allow people to add properties to the list?
Let's do this, add a deadline now.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and establish a deadline. And then that way, we can work with what we've got here and anything else that comes up by that deadline. But we got to cap, do y'all agree we have to cap it off?
Well, if we have one property, we need to put a deadline. Anybody going to put the cup out there?
But if you add any more properties to this list, see these little dots? This is our SEP.
Correct.
And you add one dot, you guys go back and amend the total SEP.
I don't know that that's...
No, they didn't say that. They said we might be doing one or two without any issues. Now, they won't give you a fair answer.
Correct.
Well,
what
more
comes
up?
Right. Which most likely will happen.
Yeah, what more comes up?
And we do have a board approved list. I mean, we have a list that was approved by the Board of County Commissioners. I think the angst is that, you know, I didn't know or it wasn't advertised. Well, it was in the agenda. So, I would say it was advertised.
Well, now, I think everybody, if they don't know, they should know. As much as this has been in the paper or not.
Give them another 60 days, 30.
Advertise
the second, which is a cutoff date.
And that's fine, but I would say if we do that, then we will not be able to submit grant applications by the end of March, which is fine.
Well, throw out another day, cutoff next week. I mean,
a week enough.
Yeah, well, we got to advertise.
Got to advertise the paper. We got time to do that.
Okay, let me ask you.
Advertise one time. Give a week after the advertisement.
Okay, well, I'm going to play the devil's advocate now. So, is there a purpose it serves to give people another 2 weeks to add properties to the list? If we have a list of, how many are on here? Maybe 15. 12, 15? And we've already, I think we need to back up a little bit.
I do too.
Do you want, how many, I guess the question is, how many feasibility studies do you want to pay to have done?
Five.
Okay.
And $25 a
Yeah. You want less than that, Commissioner?
I don't see any need to have a feasibility study done on 15 properties.
Okay.
When we know already, we've already sort of let five or six rise to our top.
Okay.
What do you think, Ken?
I would probably take another step even further backward and go kind of the thrust of the SEP in that if our, what is our clear objective? If we're looking for distributed access to the coast, are we truly thinking we need five places along our coastline
No.
to add to our current assets, or are we really thinking that, you know, we're hopeful that we could add another facility?
If we get one out of this whole process.
I mean, because you guys are not long past having gone through a lot of the budget process and understanding the constraints that we have on being able to afford and maintain facilities. So are we really getting ahead of the game if we were to try to be pursuing, let's put three more across our coast? Or should we really be looking for
one?
we can handle one more big one, because that gets us three, and let's look for the best opportunity to put one more big one.
I agree with you.
And if that's the objective, then that's the mindset that you start culling and screening your properties, that this is what I'm after, which I think is the spirit of the SEP. And that if that's our objective, then let's move down that path. And I think when you do that, the feasibility is not going to be a number per se, but it's going to be, of the ones that we're aware of in our initial screening, it looks like there are seven, looks like there are four that could be suitable candidates. So let's just do that. Let's not throw an arbitrary number out. Let's have a reason for picking the number to pick.
I'm with you on that, but what we don't want to get access to the Gulf of Mexico, and that means a boat ramp, more than walking out of your truck, putting a kayak in the water. We're looking for a boat ramp. We could narrow it down to the property, not only with boat ramp position on it, to save us a lot of money. And just like talking about adding one in, maybe you won't sell that one at Cedar Island. Nobody was for it, but there's about 30 families that unloaded their boats at the Indian Ramp down there. One of them come to me and said, Benji told us, you know, if we don't come up and say something about his property, he's going to put a cable across it, put a lock up, and there'll be 30 families out of the place, put the boat in, and I'll put 30 more over the key, big boat around, or dark eyes. And so that's going to be a... Even though we don't do that, we need the key on boat ramps, existing boat ramps, access to the Gulf. That would save us a lot of issues for all these other people.
I would only disagree to the extent that the possibility of co-locating on an existing state facility avoids the very initial expense of land acquisition. So if I'm looking at what I consider one of the probably the best option from a private standpoint, if I can avoid a couple of $1 million of land acquisition costs and yet roll that into the overall construction cost, I think I'm ahead of the game.
Right, but if there's a boat ramp over there, people can go to unloading as soon as we get access to it.
I added Cedar Island into the matrix because of the two that were suggested, it was a contiguous property that was on water. The other one is a plethora of properties, like six or eight, I can't even remember. And it's on the other side of the highway. It really didn't make sense for me to invest my time into reviewing those. I did put the Cedar Island in there, and there are good facilities there. But the only thing the thing that comes to my mind immediately was the initial paragraphs in the SCP was that we have existing congestion at our existing facilities.
Yes.
The residents along the areas where these facilities are located are frustrated and exacerbated because there's so much congestion in that area. We need to be looking to put something somewhere else.
That's right.
There is not a private ramp. I mean, there is not a public ramp right now at Cedar. He has two launch ramps that are there that are private. And it is in the middle of a residential neighborhood. So I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate it. And I wish I had the option to put my boat in there, but I don't.
Well, but I don't live it. But the thing is, where are them 30 people going to go with 35 families going to go with 56
families? Let's be more realistic and say, how are those 30 people going to feel when that other 75 people are going to put their boat in?
Well, I understand that.
There's a difference between it and Dark Island, because I do put in a lot of Dark Island because it's a public access.
I put in Dark Island, and I live at Cedar.
If you think about Dark Island, the facilities across the road, and what happens immediately is the small parking lot fills up, and then you see 20 more vehicles lined up and down there. If you look back at Cedar Island, if we were to do that, where are they going to park? They're going to be parking all through there. What's around the property that he's proposing to sell and through it? The access route for those houses that are around it. So I kind of look beyond I try to be a little more impartial and objective and say, if I were there, how would I feel about it? And if I expect Dark Island to happen over here, which is probably, I would be more prone to go to Cedar than Dark because I don't have as many water problems. Because I'm on a canal point and I can come in and out a lot more than I can at Dark Island. That's going to move more congestion to Cedar versus Dark. So with our eyes open, should we truly be focusing to put that in that area, or we can do the community ramp.
Hold on just a second. I want to hear from Commissioner Murphy because some of us have got input from citizens, but that's your, I want to hear from you.
From my understanding, citizens of Cedar Island do not want to go there.
I got a dog.
And we can go there somehow. Both of us walk and talk to everybody there. From my understanding, from what I'm getting, nobody wants. And the reason why they don't want it is because you're introducing commercial traffic into residential. Mm-hmm. The infrastructure is not going to support it. It doesn't support it as is now. They're in scout season without a boat ramp. So if you compile that measure, it is going to be a nightmare day. I'm telling you right now. That's what I see and what other people are seeing. I'm not just having to relay with you.
I understand that.
I go down to Cedar Island quite a bit because we've got family in there and we've got a house down there. And I hear, yes, what I hear is we all want this boat ramp in our quiet residential community and try to make us be a private place like it is over there, people. But don't tell Benji I said that. You know, they don't want to hurt Benji because they're friends. But they don't want, you know, I don't have a dog in sight. But now, I hear you talking about we need to go and put it somewhere else. And I understand in order to put a boat ramp down and for less money, you don't need to be doing it in the grid. This probably is Benji talking about. Can you launch a big boat ramp?
You can launch a 35-foot boat there right now at Lake Tahoe.
How many places down there that you can launch a 35-foot boat?
None at Lake Tahoe, hardly. You can put one and keep a big boat ramp, but you might get out and you might not. It's a little better to get out of the Cedar Island Canal than it is.
It's not by much, and then when you get into the negative tides, nobody's getting out.
Well, what I'm saying, a negative tide in wintertime.
Right. Well, let's just cut the chase. I'm not for putting one at Cedar Island because I don't think it's the right thing to do. Commissioner Page?
Not for it.
Commissioner Page, that's a dead deal now. There's no need to discuss it any further. You got two people that don't agree.
And well, just based on the community's response. It doesn't matter to me. It has other moves.
I'm fine with it. Anyway, I don't have dogs, but I got two boat ramps myself. The thing is, I'm just thinking about the 30 people that live to Cedar Island and use that boat ramp.
These people you talking about live in Cedar Island?
They have out of Cedar Island and they use that.
How many houses in Cedar Island?
I don't like the decision by somebody saying that if I don't get my way, I'm going to close off my private road.
Exactly.
To try to utilize a threat to gain leverage,
that is the thing is, it probably won't happen.
Okay.
And then that 30 people go across the island or keep the beach, you know.
When we're looking at boat ramp anywhere from the proposed Havens Cove to Spring Warrior, somewhere along that coastline, we want to put a boat ramp in there. So we have to look at the logistics behind it. Accessibility, height, depth, width, I mean, all of these things comply. I mean, you don't want to just buy a half an acre and put a serious complex in.
Okay.
Now, if I intend on building a boat ramp in my district, I want to build a boat ramp. I want to build a project, not a medium project. And so I'm looking at all the angles, and the most important angle to me is the feasibility behind it, the logic behind it. A lot of these on the list, majority of them are good, but in my interpretation, what I'm looking for is accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Access, getting out. If you put a boat ramp on Cedar Island during scout season, I'm pretty sure everybody has been out there during scout season. To go 1,000 feet takes a half hour on that major thoroughway. So if we compile a boat ramp there, that's going to compile the time travel to an hour. You're going to go 1,000 feet in an hour, nobody's going to run that. So I'm trying to look at it to alleviate the congestion on that corner. Where do we put that boat ramp? South of that corner or north of the corner?
I like that. I know Kenneth had, if we just do fewer boat ramps.
Mm-hmm.
And Higgins Cove, plenty of land is on.
Yeah.
And the feasibility study would give me some comfort that eventually permitting could be obtained for our town.
Right.
when, if we can work the deal with the state, we'd have them let us leverage this project.
That's right.
And we wouldn't have to put out any money to buy the land, because we need more of the Part 3 money to dig them rocks. It's going to be expensive problems.
The feasibility study will tell you how much you'd have to spend.
How much you have
to get that channel out there and permit and all that would be in the plan. It would tell you, but I'm saying I've already asked one engineer about it. He said the cost of going through that bay out there and the time it would take to give you the permit is going to be unreal. He said the cost out there is just going to be beyond what we've got coming to us.
That are the Hudson's property.
Yeah,
they're not in residential areas. Whichever one of the feasibility studies says, but you don't need both. It's important.
Well, obviously, what I would suggest, and I think you're going down the right path, is those are the two obvious choices. One is a public partnership, and one is a private venture.
Yeah.
So, if you were to push those two.
Mm-hmm.
I think those fit all the parameters of what our objective envisioned by the SEP.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary, I think, at this stage to grab all these the various other projects when it's abundantly clear that these two are obvious choices, obvious candidates. And you know, obviously both of them have some pros, but some of that will be flushed out with the feasibility study. And we'll see. Then, from a total project cost perspective, which one is the best value in the long run for what we're trying to achieve? And I don't think we're wasting anybody's money. I don't think we're wasting anybody's time. Those are two legitimate locations that really embody the whole concept that's discussed in the SEC.
And if you want to throw in another one, Dollar Street is a logical one.
Yeah, and Dollar Street is a logical one, and I was kind of going through these properties again in my mind last night. I looked down on aerials this morning, and Dollar Street has the one impediment I think that I see with it is the length of creek access to open water. I've been stranded out there myself. So you obviously we have to deepen that creek line through that route, and it's about, I want to say it was 3,000 feet as a crow flies.
About a half mile, which, you know,
as a crow flies. So that's not as the creek runs, that's as a crow flies. Hagen's Cove, there is about 2,000 feet of non or very sparsely vegetated sand flat in front of Hagen's Cove.
Where is that now?
This is Hagen's Cove.
That's right.
That gets you almost up parallel with Sponge Point, which just beyond Sponge Point is where I start seeing depth enough that the SEP envisions a -3 mm water depth for its dredging. So you're getting closer to that as you go further out.
Feasibility study to show us all that.
Yes, they'll do bathymetric surveys that will show us.
Now, just think, at Hagen's Cove, we would probably wouldn't run into any problem other than the cost, which you've got to dig a boat basin up here where you put the ramps.
But it's a lot easier to dig a boat basin aside from the potential for rock. Obviously, that's
not that easy.
That's across our whole coastline.
Yeah.
But aside from the rock potential, it's going to be a whole lot easier to dig it in sand than it is grass.
You got it.
Okay, now I got a question. On Hagen's Cove, is there...
From an environmental perspective is what I mean.
Is there potential to expand parking areas?
300 acres.
Huh?
There's 300 acres.
300 acres.
So we could have almost unlimited parking.
My guess is that the state of Florida would be excited if we were to develop that property for ecotourism purposes.
Well, just that to me would be our number one.
That's excellent.
I'm not disagreeing that, and I think it's smart to push both of them, that if it gets to the point that there one has more issues that are insurmountable versus the other, we have two very, very good options.
Okay, now I want to ask one other question, and it's the only reason I'm asking this question is the Lovey property. It's before you get to Keaton Beach, where, and I don't know about the property. I have no idea about the property, but if it was a good one, it would, the traffic that would be going around through that area to get to Hagen's Cove, is it one that, what's your opinion on that property?
Water access is very much akin to, it's not on the same length of scale as Dollis Creek, but it still has Tidal Creek access to it.
You'd have to go 20,000 foot to get 4 foot of water flow tide.
It's a hurdle.
So small, you have to have time to get a little.
You got less than 3 acres there to park on.
And the landowner's going to tell you that too.
Okay,
then
that, just forget that.
Hey, when you go to get the permit to build a channel out there, Hagen's Cove would be the best permit-minded site because you deal with the state and the Corps of Engineers are not going to give you the permit. Mm-hmm. We'd have their blessing as far as the state went.
Right.
Absolutely, sir.
And I mean, and the permit for, I fill out the permit, when it says the betterment of the general public, there's no problem. And the Corps of Engineers, they lean one way or the other. If it's for a private enterprise, it's a lot harder to get a permit than it is for, you know, the betterment of the general public.
Right.
Hey, if the bill, like you say, to build something for the future, a deep water channel with plenty of parking and plenty of room to do things, Hagen's Cove is a no-brainer to me. I just, you know, if you could get a nice town dug all the way out, have a rock pile on one side, have a
channel marked on it. Pressure.
I mean, that big building there right there will tell you the whole story about that.
The only discrepancy I have with Hagen's Cove is, say, for instance, the Yale project, hypothetically, that road accessing in there, we're going to have to rebuild that road. We're going to have to widen it up and support that road.
But that being said, now you just have to keep in mind that you don't have construction dollars available until another 12 years or so. So, but I believe that we could either ask for an SEP amendment or whatever we have to do to move those dollars forward and switch them over from, shift them from acquisition to construction.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's not an automatic, we'll have to work with a consortium on that. Well, but I don't think that's an issue.
And I would say that if we go through the exercise of the feasibility studies and we see that both, either one or both properties have tremendous promise, then we use that as justification to say,
absolutely,
look, we don't need $11 million to buy property and only $700,000 to construct it.
Right.
Let's roll whatever we don't need to acquire, which is a public property, obviously is zero. Let's roll that into construction and let's build a non-Mickey Mouse facility. Let's build a true facility.
Well, you know, with the intention of eventually down the road attaching it through the Department of Defense, Coast Guard, FWC, things like that may arise in the future where we can attach that type of stuff to it. So if we build that type of facility and we have that availability, future down the road.
I expect FWC would love it.
Absolutely. Any kind of agency attached.
It's a tremendous
relaxation there. You know, so there's a lot that can be done.
And we
adding with this project just a boat ramp.
Well, we have acquisition dollars available in year two. So it's possible that we could reallocate that to construction, and if this becomes a reality, we may be able to have construction dollars available sooner than later.
But don't we first have to confer with the state about our intentions, or have we already done that?
We have.
Okay.
We've received a letter from FWC regarding that. Remember?
Are you talking about Mr. Hudson's board?
Yes, sir.
That letter said that if we went the route of a possible co-location, they would appreciate being involved in the process.
Okay.
So there we go. We
would
just go ahead and
I agree. At the beginning.
And talk with them. Now, one other thing that I hate to mention it, but I think we have to, and that's we have something proposed to us. We do have a willing seller
Dr. Hutchins has approached me, and I spoke with Conrad. He would like the board to consider entering into an agreement with he and his wife, where they would, he has a price that I am not allowed to disclose yet. He is asking for, I believe, 20% down, and then he would actually finance the remainder over, I think, a 4-year period at 0% interest. Now, my concern with that is that it does not follow our SEP at all, and I believe that there is a chance that reimbursement could be at risk. Mm-hmm. But I also will communicate that he feels the need to offer his property for sale very quickly due to some private concerns he has, and very much wants the board to consider an offer.
Here's where I am. For me, I'm not with the uncertainties. We don't have anything totally guaranteed us. With the uncertainties and the fact that we have a governor now that can throw all of us off tomorrow or this afternoon or tonight.
And he's an environmentalist.
And so I don't want to be my job taken away from me. And because if the county were to commit to something like this with our resources where they are now, I would be very, very uncomfortable doing that. So I feel for him. I like him. I have no problem with him. But from a business standpoint and for what's best for our community financially, I, for one, would have to vote against that.
I vote against it, too.
I vote against that, too.
And I
think it would be a bad decision for this board to dip into our limited contingency funding to do this for one property owner, and there are 15 more here. We're going to be lined up at the door. You did for him, I want my money 20% down. Plus, we don't know what that property price is at.
Correct.
Don't think Henry Lovey would be up here with it.
Yes, sir.
You know, everybody in that list would be wanting their money.
So it's pretty much a consensus then, Commissioner Dentz. How do you feel about that?
Okay.
And that's not.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's the reason we need to have for us at the risk part.
Yeah, but right in behind it is we don't have a study involved with questions.
Correct.
We don't know.
We can follow the process just as we are. And we decide that's one of the ones we're going to do. We need to put your study on, then you just follow the process.
Well, and I use the term at risk. That's straight from the representatives of the Gulf Consortium. Yeah. Now, they said in a vote, and I mean, if you'll recall, they did let us know in a board meeting that if we did make the decision, or if y'all made the decision to step out and purchase property ahead of time, that they could not guarantee reimbursement.
See, that's too risky for us. If he finds a buyer for his property between now and then, good for him.
And there's no chance you could hit the feasibility study of money unless you dig nothing there yet. But, you know, when they go to look at that red piece of grass out there in front of that place there, that'd be
great.
That's the best red piece in that area right there, usually, right there in front of his eyes.
Now that property may be a good candidate for a FERDAP grant or an FCT grant. There are other grant programs that may be a perfect. I mean, I think it's a good property for the Restore Act funding, but I mean, it's possible there are other grant opportunities available for that. And I can instruct our grants director to do some research if the board is interested in that. If
you want him to
acquisition of that property.
To do what with?
To purchase that property using another grant program. I understand.
To do any kind of further project that could come down the line, is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
And just like Jim said, you don't know if you're
going
to be able to.
You don't know if you can do anything there or not. You know, you get a feasibility study done. And if he doesn't have a feasibility study done, that would be fine. You can say, here it is, you know, you started to him out, you know.
I think he feels like he's done his own piece of what he said.
Yeah. He's done one?
Yeah, yeah, right.
So,
which anybody would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he has done a large amount of research. It is a beautiful piece of property.
Oh, yeah. But so I'd rather have my Lord Island property, you know,
stay on the tax rules.
I'd rather have Lord Island than I would.
That's a good point.
I would
mind
if you
dropped
it in there.
Okay, let's move forward then. Kenneth, what else you want to say?
I appreciate the board being amenable to following data and allowing that to kind of create an atmosphere of impartiality. It's kind of an easy way to make a decision without removing subjectivity. It's refreshing.
Now we'll sum it all up, then we move on.
All right.
I'd rather us develop one nice Taj Mahal boat ramp with a face in a channel in a non-residential area, mm-hmm. than drill out four or five little
That's right.
places, another place to park and make people mad.
I would like to see a project come in the future where the state agencies would be more than glad going to park.
Yes.
Okay, because I would like to entice the Department of Defense here. We need a Coast Guard station.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it put Frank Warrior on the lid for that.
Yeah.
There's a world of people down there fishing today. I guarantee the parking lot's full. And people that don't bring money in the Valley County. Most of them don't feel people and equipment and not all that bunk go.
One major one and spring water.
Well, now, would the FERDAP perhaps do the spring water? Because I've heard that's real good. That it's possible.
We could buy the property with that.
That's with the trap. And one more thing I'm going to ask Kenneth, if we did a beautiful site there, take it there. Could we get there at our Keep Big Foot Ramp at that curve, at that dog leg where all the traffic is, and could we cut right there at the corner store and cut around behind our nice facility there, hit Cedar Island Road without putting all that traffic into that curve right there in the parking lot? Mm-hmm. And then we could do away with the road right there and have that part of the parking for the Keep Big tonight.
We have looked at the concept of a bypass that kind of circumvents on the north side of the Keaton property.
Right.
There are a lot of environmentally sensitive areas up through there because there's, I mean, usually you know as well as I do, when it rains, there's sheets of water that come through there. Yes, that's a possibility. You know, if you were to try to maybe turn around the proximity of the ice house or something and head eastward to where.
Right.
Kind of tie back into Joe's grade and then come back to the beach road. It is a possibility.
For a safety aspect, they would be real helpful with us on it, I believe.
Well, we're looking at, you guys don't know it yet, but you know, DOT and I are looking at various places along beach road for safety improvements. That'll be coming to you in the near future. You'll start seeing some of that. And the intersection at Keaton Beach and Beach Road is one of the ones that we're looking at to make some improvements there. I tried to do it with high risk rural roads, but the predominance of accidents reports that are in that area are all in the parking lots. They're not, it's not on the roadway itself.
Right.
So it's, DOT is reluctant to give you funds to improve or address the roadways when you don't really have anything to substantiate that you need to do this other than congestion during your small stop seasons.
But if we were to do what the law says to do and stop all those people from parking down on top of that highway with all them kids getting out and running in the highway, if we would stop this year and stop the get there so nobody can park on this highway.
Law enforcement.
Law enforcement can say nobody parks on this ditch on the top. It's illegal to park there and let all the young men run out and straighten all that.
We're gonna park when they drive all the way from miles and miles to get there, right. And there's
no work. Well, I understand that. But if you did that, that would give us the arms to say there's a safety issue. We need to put that road around behind our park there.
Well,
a child hasn't got run over there yet, and it's, we're real lucky to have it.
Well,
I have wondered that for many years, sitting there watching that. Amazing how nobody's been killed by
it. If that road there was part of that parking lot, we would have been a boat ramp.
Now, if you say, for instance, Keaton Beach Boat Ramp is your focal point, and you're traveling to come in and visit, and if you built a south alleviation and a north alleviation, which would be south would be Hagen's Cove, you would have a boat ramp south, and then north would be considered your Spring Warrior. Okay. That is going to alleviate the congestion from your focal point because you have a destination before and then you have a destination after. So say, for instance, people that are coming in from the north heading south have a chance to get to Spring Warrior before Keaton Beach. Same thing if the people were coming from south and north, they would get to Hagen's Cove or whatever, wherever we decide to put that one in, south end of Keaton Beach. That would alleviate the traffic going into Keaton Beach because you have two destinations that are cutting that main destination off. I'm not trying to say cut it off, but you have a focal point before you get to that point. So if you build one south of the boat ramp, existing boat ramp, and then you build one somewhere north, which would be the Spring Warrior area, that would alleviate the traffic and the congestion because you have a different focal point, different destination point. And I looked at that years ago. That had something else been built in that area, they wouldn't even make it to that corner on Keaton Beach. They would go somewhere else.
I would agree with you if it were more in the vicinity of Deagle Beach.
Somewhere north.
Yeah. But to go, I spent quite a bit of time going in and out of Spring Warrior when we were rebuilding the bird racks last year. Mm-hmm. And you, up until the point that you get past the houses, which is where we established or tried to establish the no wake zone, you have to be very much aware of where you are driving your boat because that is a very, very prominent rock bottom. I don't know that, and I agree with you, there's probably a parking lot full of people that's there. And I actually had one of the guys that's from there guide me out the first time so I could remember the route. But I don't think that that's going to garnish a lot of the attraction of the people that end up at Keaton Beach.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like a Keaton Beach will, but what I would suggest is rather that if you were to have the one that is between our two, we have Keaton here and Steamatchie here, and we plug one in the middle, whether it's in that vicinity of Hagen's Cove or Hudson's either one, I think achieve the same objective. The area in which golfing is predominant, that's right in the middle. And I think what you're going to have is when you have that nicer facility that doesn't have that channel, that 1 hour channel wait, I think you're going to see the most people try to go to this facility because they don't want to put up with the headache at Keaton coming in an hour waiting to get in and out.
And we won't tell until we get there. We won't know that until we get to that point. Until that structure's built, we're not going to actually see or notice whether it influxes or it were.
I would be shocked that word of mouth after one season didn't start putting an influx of people at that middle ramp. Away from, because the word's going to be, dude, if you want to get out of that channel and that headache where all those people are coming in that, go down here. This is a whole lot nicer and you're right on the water.
How about this? I know this sounds far out, but I'm not crazy. Somewhere in Salem, could we make a road, a good paved road from Salem to the beach road that would bypass all of Keaton Beach? It would put you out there, turn left, and go on to Hagen's Cove.
Well, okay, so now you're saying it's come all the way down 19.
Yeah.
And then turn and go across Fish Creek.
You've only got from the beach road to there, you only got a 10-minute drive.
But It's farther than you think. Most people coming from Gainesville, comes up here to Salt, comes through Steamhatchie.
Yeah.
It's an easier route to hit Steamhatchie and come around than it would be to go all the way up in Fish Creek.
The Georgia people, lots of Georgia people come, so that's not a good idea then.
It's probably on the order of magnitude of that Counter Road 14 project. I think it'd probably be that kind of dollar size.
Yeah. All right, forget it.
That's what I think.
Don't think it would work.
I used to go through there a lot because my in-laws were the same.
I'm surprised that Dr. Pruitt didn't offer that boat rent property that he wants was going to develop and give to us near Deagle. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
but I exist in no channel out of there. Right. That would probably rank pretty high if it's not offered.
There's a piece of property at Deacon Beach, 20-something acres there on the right before we get to Deacon Beach. When you turn the dirt road, you go down to the bridge.
Yeah.
There's a piece of property right there, 20-something acres, and it's been permitted over 5 acres of the time drop. You could put parking on any time. If you were going to dig another channel, you'd have to dig a channel. But digging a channel, they could be half the cost of digging one and taking a cove or anywhere up in the county.
It's about half the cost.
About half the cost, but what they tell me.
Why?
Who owns?
Huh?
Why?
Why? Because when the Corps of Engineers did their, the old timers told me when they done their core sample down the coast and they were fixing to build that crash truck base, they could be, that was the only place on the whole coast that they didn't run into rock that far under the sand. From, I'm talking about also the river, the Stanhatch River, they said they drilled every bit of it. And they beat it where the Corps of Engineers built that channel out there. It's probably that crash foot base for everybody.
Yes, sir.
I mean, everybody's out here where they had all the pilots climbing and they killed all the targets out. Some of them could be big grasses and all that area, they had targets out there and they had crash boats. They could come and go with low tides. They had about a 6 foot at low tide channel there at one time.
Who owns 5 acres?
Yep. A fellow from up the country owns it, and I sold him the property a year ago. He got 21 acres right there.
Yeah.
And to what he want for, 850, I think he's...
$855.
Steve Plume's his name. He lives up in Indiana. But Steve, I sold him the property a year ago, and he offered that piece of property for like $550 property, but he went up last time I talked to him. He's coming up here like once a year, and he'll call me and he'll meet me out there over there, and we'll leave. And he told me, he's the kind of person who couldn't give us the property. I said, why don't you just donate it to the county? He said, well, it's kind of strong, you know, but he said, I'd love to sell it to the county if they wanted to dig a channel out. They got plenty of dirt to do it on, you know. And we had it on the list probably, didn't we? Steve Plume? It's not on this list.
That doesn't sound familiar.
It wasn't on the
June
2017 list because I used every property on this.
But we had it on the list one time. I know Steve Plume, the realtor brought it over here.
Well, how did it get took off?
I don't know. I don't know why.
Let's see if we can get that one. I had about to do the feasibility study on it.
You know.
Well, we're going to go from one to more?
Well, I'm thinking right now that your list is really comprised of two.
And people think it's going to be just like in Cedar Island. They do not want nothing there.
That's what they're supposed to do.
They run down the crew at all.
And you know what?
All right, we got another two programs. I'd be tickled if we could come in with us.
And that's Dr.
Okay,
you can build a fantastic facility.
Haggis Cove and Dr. Hutchison's property.
Haggis Cove and Dollar Tree people.
Haggis Cove
and Framework.
Well,
that's further down the list. I mean, do we need a cutoff point? Because that's the Spring Warrior property was what, number 7, number 8? Now it's number 7. I guess my question is...
also only 2 acres.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's been bigger. Plus, you got the rocks in it.
But
I think that's a bird out problem.
But there's a bunch of people go out the same water. And all the people that live there go out, and all the Georgia people come down and go out.
But there's several years that this pot for anybody to buy that 2 acres or whatever we need. And then write the grant, including the boat grant.
So my question would be, two questions. Do we need to publish and have a deadline for any additional properties to be put on the list?
And then after that, does the board need to approve this method?
I'm not publishing nothing or going any further. We've had this list, there's been plenty of time. Let's not open up that can of worms. Let's close it right now.
Suits me.
So is that okay with you, Commissioner Harvey?
You don't want to proceed on that? Got either access to a canal in built, I mean, either built one there, I mean.
If you don't close it down, it'll be 100 years before we build a boat.
He could tell you it'll take 5 or 6 years to get a canal for it anywhere more.
So we need to
Let's close it and let's do some feasibility studies.
So you want to stick with the list that the board approved in 2017?
Yes. And no more to it.
Right.
That's just what we got.
Now, you're going to do a feasibility study on what's going on. Let's get that straight.
Well, I think what we need some direction from the board, and I don't know if this needs, if we need to
close the list as it is right now. And I think it's been a consensus to go ahead and move forward with Hagen's Cove, number one, Dr. Hutcherson's property, number two. And we'll need feasibility studies, we'll need an agreement that the state's going to, you know, indeed let us do this and move from there. Am I correct?
I thought we were going to put all our eggs in Hagen Cove if we're going to do something from scratch, you know, maybe kind of. We could do a feasibility study on it, see which one of them.
Which one comes in the best?
Yeah, I thought that's what we were doing.
Yeah.
She was putting two options there, but we're only going to pick one of them.
You're going to pick
right.
We don't know. We're going to let the feasibility study determine what's the best value.
Okay, so
that's going to be our big boat ramp.
Big ride,
one of the other properties.
That would cut a lot of heat off. Like John said, that cut a lot of heat off the TV if you had that. But it'll be years coming. It'll take a while to get to it.
The board shouldn't have any problem with Hagen's Cove because I remember several years ago, the state tried to give that to the county.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's, if we can get that,
a lot of their parks,
that's the way to go right there. It's going to be a room in
that. I like Hagen's Cove, 300 acres, and
yeah,
the state is in partnership with us. Okay, so that's the way to go.
Yeah, I wouldn't want the state to give that to us until after the fact.
Right.
I'd love to have them beside me when I'm applying.
Ken, do you want to let us just go with Hagen's Cove, or do you want to do Hagen then?
I think it's smarter to put both of them there.
Because what else
is the case?
Feasibility. Now, do you want to do a feasibility study on spring water? I mean,
do we need that? That's a small problem.
If your objective is a big facility, then
we got two.
It doesn't meet the parameters.
For me, we've got two objectives: a big facility. And then because of the geographic need, you don't have a boat ramp between Inconvenience and Keith Beach, a public. This one is to be a smaller, lesser scale. The venue wouldn't be to put in a big one. And if we could get the property, then I think we could get a VERDAP grant if we didn't have enough money to put in another two.
Very easy.
And then we're not going to finally do it in the dredging.
Right.
Now, again, it's spring water. You just take your chances.
The people that go to spring water are not expecting a dredging, and the people that live on spring water don't want a 40-mile-an-hour running.
What's the value of us getting that if we're not going to do any kind of dredging or anything else with 2 acres? What's the value for the county to own it and take it off the tax roll?
Well,
the value is it would be a convenient place to provide access to that geographical area of the Gulf for the people that use it. And there are a lot of people that go to spring water and go in there and go out and go in. It's
you have to pay a fee to go out there.
Yes.
A what?
Is it not open to the customer?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it not open to the
customer? Because there's an existing
motel. It's spring water, Jim. Just up above there is a public facility. You pay $5 to put in.
You put in, Fred Morgan's got a box there, $5. And everybody pays to put in.
There's a motel and established business.
Yeah, they got a fishing guy
right there.
Red Morgan owns the property, or
yeah, damn property was
so he, he's trying to sell that property, so evidently he does not see this public boat ramp as much of a threat to his business. Is that
the, now, that it was, the man told me on business there that he'd love to see a public boat ramp where more people would come for his business, so we're really helping him.
Yeah.
And with, like you said, that's access that you don't hardly have, or a lot of people don't know about it, you know. Yeah. A lot of people compare it, everybody down from Wood Road uses that ramp. There's actually three ramps there. There's some places like Benji's. There are people that they let their neighbors put in it all up and down through there on them roads for a boat ramp. Mm-hmm. But it's not that far out of Frank Wood out to the Gulf anyway. And you get past that last oyster bar, you can go, yeah, you know.
That's Earl Green's favorite place. He lived on boat ramp too many years ago, and this is his favorite place. He was never able to get a boat ramp.
Really good fishing. When the trout between the Allen Beach and Frank Wood over to Rock Island is really the best trout fishing right today, I imagine.
Okay,
but
Wanda, if we say if this did material wise at Spring Warrior, will our budget support maintaining another area? Number one question. Number two, if we did get the Pavens Cove, would the state help us maintain that, or would it all be ours also?
I would think if they entered into a lease agreement with us, they would be very happy to have Taylor County assume the maintenance costs, unless that's something that we could negotiate with them. But I don't know that they would, I don't know. I mean, we would have to explore that.
We could possibly have two more boat ramps to maintain and secure.
Right, and backing up this is just a tiny bit, I am a little concerned that if the board consensus is that we follow this list, and we go down the list as far as the properties, if we pick one and two, and then we jump down to number seven, that's difficult to explain to the public. When, if we say we use the list and we use the system, but then we
veer from the system.
That's hard to explain.
But if they have a boat ramp, then you can say, well, y'all don't have a boat ramp, and people can go put in at Spring Warriors today.
Then I think that needs to be part of the criteria, and that there's a logical reason for pushing them up to the top.
I think so.
And I don't.
Well, I thought y'all said that with Spring Warrior, you were going to look at the possibility of a Burnett ramp to help with that facility.
Which means we wouldn't need,
to put it in your priorities.
Perfect. So we would not do a feasibility study on
there.
That's right.
Good. Okay, that works for me.
That's where you get money back in the state, too.
What needs to be done at Spring Warrior? What needs to be done at Spring Warrior boat ramp?
Nothing. You go there and put in today.
Well, you need to expand more parking.
You could fill in more parking there, yeah.
Right. 2 acres, you clear up.
Because that's all I see. Right. That's all I really see that you
do. It's already one little ramp there.
There's a ramp there.
That's half the business.
Right. Now there's another old ramp right at the end of the road where
you're right.
King's Fish Camp.
You're right, but there's a cable across it.
Cable down, and you can probably see that one way.
The cement boat ramp don't belong to the fish camp. It belongs to Fred Moore.
When you come in the road where the little circle is,
right,
there is one that's got a cable across
it. It's got a boat ramp on it, too.
And then what I thought you were referring to was the concrete one that's up there at the business.
That's the one Fred on.
Okay. I had to go talk to those people to tell them what I was doing.
They won't act like they own it. They split the money from Fred on it because they keep up the cable and all that kind of stuff. Fred actually owns the boat up front.
Okay, and we're not reading anything. Why don't we say that we would pursue Spring Warrior with FERDAP, leave it out of this equation, and not worry about a $25,000 feasibility study, and let's pursue the two that's recommended.
So what I can do is I can instruct our grants director, who's working part-time specifically for this project,
yeah,
another one, to work on grant applications for feasibility studies for Hagen's Cove, and well, see, now we're still not following the list.
Hagen's
Cove, second, Hutchins is third. Can we submit applications for all three?
Or no? I would say that if we're really, and that's why I started this way, if our focus is to put in a facility, then of the two properties that are available between Hagen's Cove and Dallas Creek, Hagen's Cove is much more obvious choice.
Yes.
If we want to go another
far out of the
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And if we want to look beyond that restricted access through the creek line, then Doc Hudson's property is the next logical choice to allow for a regional type facility.
So you're going to fix your matrix.
Sure.
And Dallas Creek's already got a pretty nice little ring there.
Right. It does, and like I said, I have spent hours out there waiting for the water to come in.
All right, we got a plan.
So then we'll bring a grant application back to the board, or whatever we have to do for those two properties. We have an end of March deadline to submit those to the Gulf Consortium, and then we'll see how it shakes out. And my suggestion would be, if we don't like the results of those two, then we'll go to the next on the list.
You don't want to put Bird Island on the list, though.
No.
It just logistically, it would be tough for maneuvering on that piece of property.
On what?
It'd be tough for maneuvering, pulling in, launching, parking, retrieving. It's a very small peninsula.
Oh yeah, I've been there and looked at it lately. It is small, but then again, a lot of people use it too.
No doubt, I know people that do.
We have plenty of time. This is just the first step.
Okay.
We know we're going to have to submit individual grant applications for every project. So if this is the way you want to define our marching orders, then we can start at the top of the list, but we don't need to take action immediately after we receive a feasibility study necessarily. Then at that point, then it would be property appraisals. And then after those two milestones, then we can look at whether or not we need to ask for an amendment to the FPP, or if you want to move forward with construction or acquisition or whatever the board would like to do.
That's right.
And that's following our FPP.
And you're going to see then if we can use the same principle that Hagen's Cove and that works
right.
out.
Right.
Then you're going to work on seeing if we can get the acquisition money to go toward construction.
Right. Yeah. Now, that leads into my question. This Part 3 is $15 million.
12.6.
12.6. And it's dribbled in over 18-year period.
No. I think it's 13,
14.
It's on
the But anyway, the point is, you could very easily consume all of that money on one big, nice facility. The dredge.
You can't.
You can't. I mean, so I think that we'd be smart to go after one big product.
Yeah. Right. I'm 100% myself, because that would take care of the youth center for years.
And I'm already envisioning that, you know, Keaton's a two-lane ramp, Steam Hatchie is a three-lane ramp. This one I'm
preferring
to do a four-lane ramp.
About 3 acres where we can turn around.
I'm looking at people that are traveling out there on the Gulf. About 7 years ago, when I worked at the marina, we had some people from Spain that wanted to come in here. And they had a 60-foot yacht. And they wanted to come in here. They were traveling around the world. Now, they didn't speak any English, so they were over the radio, and I had to grab the radio, and I spoke Spanish to the guys. And they were asking me how to get in here and what type of water to draw. So I asked them what type of depth did they need to get in here. And he said, well, I need 4 foot water draw. I said, well, how tall is your keel? He said, well, I've got almost a 19-foot keel. It's a big boat, a huge boat. I said, sir, you're not going to get in here. You're going to get in, but you'll never leave. You stay down there 30 miles and we'll be all right. I said, well, where y'all are heading from here? He said, well, we wanted to stay here for a week and just see what it's about.
Right.
Because they're talking about Steam Hatchie and Keaton Beach all the way in Spain and Portugal.
Did you have gotten this Steam Hatchie to that side of the
boat? I doubt it.
I doubt it.
Well, that's our most fun gift you've come in and
take it. It is right.
They used to anchor out there past the bird.
Right.
Because they had to eat a little
Right.
And then they had that smaller building, you know.
By building something of that magnitude where you're upping, you're going from 2 to 3 to 4 on both ends. And we put it in a type of channel where we have a Coast Guard station, FWC attached to it. So when you have this international money that's traveling right by us, I mean, these guys are shredded right by us. God knows what they would have invested here. So if we can facilitate that type of atmosphere, where people are circumnavigating or by waterways, we had another guy that was doing a documentary for Discovery Channel who was in a kayak all the way from Seattle, Washington. A kayak all the way around South America, come up in the Gulf, and stop at Key Beach. I like that, to be able to facilitate the matter of a different type of atmosphere than just a 20-foot boat. We want to bring in people that are out there on the Gulf and want to facilitate a program. If these millionaires spend money here, why not?
Yesterday, I was at the beach doing some painting, and when I got ready to go, I went down to Hodges Park because the neighbor had said that I see this homeless-looking person out on the bridge that looked very homeless and they didn't recognize them, so, and they were headed to Hodges Park. So I thought, well, I'll just ride down here and see if I see this person. And I didn't. But as I made that circle back there, there was a camper back there from British Columbia. And then there was another car from out of state. I couldn't see the state, but I knew it was not work.
There's a couple that actually loads their, they've got a big Mercedes type truck, looks like a military truck, and they're from Germany. They come down here once a year, all the way from Germany. They load their truck up, get on a boat, ship it over here, then they drive from Jacksonville to Los Angeles. They do that I-10 trip once a year. And once a year, these German boats are camped down in there. So we're becoming an international destination, slowly but surely we are. We definitely are, sir.
I have renters all the way from New York coming out here every winter to stay at Big Beach.
On the beach, I've met Germans, South Africans, Portugal. There's all kinds of different people coming in here.
Yeah. There's a lot of people come to this country, and then they rent a vehicle, and they go all around the coastline, all the way around the country. Looking at the coastline, and then they go back where they come from.
Well, I think our lunch is ready. Commissioner, would you like to say grace?
Yes, ma'am.
I want to thank you for the food we've about to receive, for the nourishment sent by the Lord Christ here. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Very good meeting so far, Madam Chair.
Oh, yeah.
I like that 4-5.